Saraswati Devim Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pashatya Vishatarine Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shri Vasadi Gaur Bhaktavinda Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shri Vasadi Gaur Bhaktavinda Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shri Vasadi Gaur Bhaktavinda Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shri Vasadi Gaur Bhaktavinda Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shri Vasadi Gaur Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Radha Madhava Jaya Kunja Vihari Jaya Radha Madhava Jaya Kunja Vihari Radha Madhava Jaya Kunja Vihari Jaya Gopi Janavallabha Jaya Girivare Dhari Jaya Girivare Dhari గోపీ జనవల్లభ జయ గిరివరధారీ జయ గిరివరధారీ గోపీ జనవల్లభ జయ గిరివరధారీ జయ గిరివరధారీ జయ గోపీ జనవల్లభ జయ గిరివరధారీ జయ గిరివరధారీ జయ యశోదానందన వ్రజ జన రంజన 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 యమునా తీర వనచారి యమునా తీర వనచారి యమునా తీర వనచారి జయ రాధా మాధవ జయ కుంజ విహారీ జయ రాధా మాధవ జయ కుంజ విహారీ హరే కృష్ణ 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 హరి హరి హరే రామ హరి రామ 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 హరి హరి హరే కృష్ణ 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 హరి హరి హరే రామ హరి రామ 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 హరి 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 కృష్ణ 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 హరి 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 రామ హరి రామ 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 హరి 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 కృష్ణ 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 హరి 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 రామ హరి రామ 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 హరి 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 Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna Krishna Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Krishna Krishna Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Krishna Krishna Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Jaya Radha Gokula Nanda Radha Gokula Nanda Radhe Jaya Radha Gokula Nanda Radha Gokula Nanda Radhe Jaya Radha Gokula Nanda Radha Gokula Nanda Radhe Jaya Sidharam Lakshman Hanuman Jaya Sidharam Lakshman Hanuman Jaya Sidharam Lakshman Hanuman Jaya Sidharam Lakshman Hanuman Jaya Gauranithai, Jaya Gauranithai, Jaya Gauranithai, Jaya Gauranithai. Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada. Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada. Prabhupada, 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 Jaya Jaya Prabhupada.
Jayam Shubhada Paramahamsa Paribrajagacharya Ashtottara Shatashri Shriman అభయ శరణారవింద భక్తి వేదాంత గోస్వామి మహర్షిల ప్రభుపాదికి జయం. నితినిదా ప్రవిష్టో విష్ణుపాద పరమహంస పరివ్రజకాచార్య అష్టోత్తర శతశ్రీ శ్రీమాన్ భక్తి సిద్ధాంత సరస్వతి మహర్షిల ప్రభుపాదికి, అనందగోడి వైష్ణవ బృందకి, నామాచార్య శ్రీ హరిదాస్ ఠాకూర్ కి, ప్రేమ సహో శ్రీకృష్ణ చైతన్య ప్రభు నిత్యానంద శ్రీ అద్వైత గదాధార శ్రీవాసాది గౌర భక్త బృందకి, శ్రీ శ్రీ రాధాకృష్ణ గోప గోవినాథ శ్యామకుండ రాధాకుండ గిరిగోవర్ధానికి, బృందావన్ ధామ్ కి, మాయపూర్ ధామ్ కి, మధురపురి ధామ్ కి, జగన్నాథ్పురి ధామ్ కి, ద్వారకాపురి ధామ్ కి, గంగమాయికి, యమునమాయికి, తులసిదేవికి, భక్తిదేవికి, సమవేద భక్త బృందకి గౌర్ ప్రేమనంది. ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు ది అసెంబ్లీ డివోటీస్, ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు ది అసెంబ్లీ డివోటీస్, ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు ది అసెంబ్లీ డివోటీస్, ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ శ్రీ శ్రీ గురు అండ్ శ్రీ గౌరాంగ, ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ శ్రీల ప్రభుపాద. నమామ శుభదాయ కృష్ణ ప్రసాయ భూతలే శ్రీమతి భక్తి వేదాంత స్వామి నామినే. నమస్తే సరస్వదేవం గౌరవాణి ప్రజారిణే నిర్విశేష శూన్యవాది పాశ్చాత్య దేశధారిణే. ఓం నమో భగవదే వాసుదేవాయ, ఓం నమో భగవదే వాసుదేవాయ, ఓం నమో భగవదే వాసుదేవాయ. ఓం అజ్ఞానతిమిరాంధస్య జ్ఞానాంజనశలాకయ చక్షురున్మిలితాం యేన తస్మై శ్రీగురవే నమః. శ్రీచైతన్యమనోభీష్టాం స్థాపితాం యేన భూతలే స్వయం రూపకదా మహ్యం దదాదిం స్వపదాందిగం. వందేహం శ్రీగురుం శ్రీయుతాపదకమలం శ్రీగురుం వైష్ణవాంశ్చ శ్రీరూపం సాగ్రజాదం సహగణరఘునాథాన్వితం తం సజీవం సాద్వైతం సావధూతం పరిజనాసహితం కృష్ణచైతన్యదేవం శ్రీరాధాకృష్ణపదాం సహగణలలితాం శ్రీవిశాఖాన్వితాంశ్చ. హే కృష్ణకరుణా సింధు దీనబంధో జగల్పదే గోపేశ గోపికా కాంద రాధాకాంద నమోస్తుతే. తప్తకాంచన గౌరాంగీ రాధే వృందావనేశ్వరీ వృషభానుస్తుతే దేవి ప్రణమామి హరి ప్రియే. వాంచకల్పతరుభ్యశ్చ కృపాసింధూభ్యైవ చ పతితానాం పావనేభ్యో వైష్ణవేభ్యో నమో నమః. శ్రీకృష్ణ చైతన్య ప్రభో నిత్యానంద శ్రీ అద్వైత గదాధార శ్రీవాసాది గౌరభక్త బృంద. హరే కృష్ణ 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 హరే హరే, హరే రామ 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 హరే హరే, హరే కృష్ణ 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 హరే హరే, హరే రామ 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 హరే హరే, హరే కృష్ణ 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 హరే హరే, హరే రామ 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 హరే హరే. ఓం పార్థాయ ప్రతిబోధితాం భగవతాం నారాయణేన స్వయం వ్యాసేన గ్రథితాం పురాణమునినాం మధ్యే మహాభారతం అద్వైతామృతవర్షిణీం భగవతీం అష్టాదశాధ్యాయినీం అంబ త్వామనుసంధదామి భగవద్గీతే భవద్వేషిణీం. నమోస్తుతే వ్యాస విశాల బుద్ధే పుల్లారవిందాయత పత్రనేత్ర యేన త్వయా భారత తైలపూర్ణ ప్రజ్వాలితో జ్ఞానమయ ప్రదీపాం. ప్రపన్న పారిజాదాయ తోత్రవేత్రైకపాణయే జ్ఞానముద్రాయ కృష్ణాయ గీతామృతదుహే నమః. సర్వోపనిషదో గావో దుగ్ధా గోపాలనందన పార్థో వల్స సుదీర్భోక్త దుగ్ధం గీతామృతం మహత్. వసుదేవసుతం దేవం కంసచానూరమర్దనం దేవగీ పరమానందం కృష్ణం వందే జగద్గురుం. భీష్మద్రోణతటా జయద్రథజల గాంధార నీలోల్పల శల్యగ్రాహవతీ కృపేణ వహని కర్ణేన వేలాకుల. అశ్వత్థామాపి కర్ణఘోరమకర దుర్యోధనావర్తిని సోత్తీర్ణ ఖలు వాండవైరణ నదీ కైవర్తక కేశవా. పారాశర్యవజసరోజమమలం గీతార్థగంధోల్కటం నానాఖ్యానక కేసరం హరికథ సంబోధనాభోదితం లోకై సజ్జనషల్పదైరహరః పేబీయమానం ముదా. భూయాద్భారత పంకజ కలిమల ప్రధ్వంసిన శ్రేయసే. മൂക്കം കരോതി വാചാലം യംഗം ലംഘയതേ ഗിരിം യൽകൃപാതമഹം വന്ദേ പരമാനന്ദമാധവം യം ബ്രഹ്മാവരുണേന്ദ്രരുദ്രമരുദസ്വന്വന്തി ദിവ്യൈ സവൈർ വേദൈ സാംഗപദൈർ ക്രമോപനിഷദൈർ ഗായന്തി യം സമഗാഃ ധ്യാനാവസ്ഥിതതദ്ഗതേന മനസാ പശ്യന്തി യം യോഗിനോ യസ്യാന്തം ന വിദുസുരാസുരഗണൈ ദേവായ തസ്മൈ നമഃ. ഓം ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണായ നമഃ. ശ്രീമതി രാധികായേ നമഃ. സർവത്ര ഗോവിന്ദ നാമ സങ്കീർത്തനം. ഗോവിന്ദ ഗോവിന്ദ. So, last Sunday, we have been discussing the three modes of material nature, and eventually we saw the beginning of the 15th chapter. So the end of 14th chapter, which is the three modes of material nature, Krishna says that the three living entity or Jivalma, ഗുണാനേകന അതീത്യ ത്രീൻ ദേഹി ദേഹ സമുദ്ഭവാൻ ജന്മമൃത്യു ജരാദുഃഖേർ വിമുക്തോ അമൃതമശ്നുതേ. ദേഹി ദേഹ സമുദ്ഭവാൻ, ദാറ്റ് മീൻസ് ലിവിംഗ് എൻറ്റിറ്റി ആഫ്റ്റർ അക്സെപ്റ്റിംഗ് എ മെറ്റീരിയൽ ബോഡി, ആഫ്റ്റർ അക്സെപ്റ്റിംഗ് എ മെറ്റീരിയൽ ബോഡി, ഏതാൻ ത്രീ ഗുണാൻ അതീത്യ, വെൻ ഇറ്റ് ക്രോസസ് ഓവർ ഓർ ട്രാൻസെൻഡ്സ് ദി ത്രീ മോഡ്സ് ഓഫ് മെറ്റീരിയൽ നേച്ചർ, ജന്മമൃത്യു ജരാദുഃഖൈ വിമുക്ത, ഇറ്റ് ഗെറ്റ്സ് റിലീസ്ഡ് ഫ്രം ദി cycle of birth and death, and amrutam asnuti, experiences the happiness of spiritual realized state. So gunani, these three modes of material nature, this is the last 20th verse in the 14th chapter. And then Krishna say, Arjuna asked Krishna about the what is the nature of a person who has crossed over the three modes of nature. In answer to that, Shri Bhagavan Vacha, what did Krishna says? പ്രകാശഞ്ച പ്രവൃത്തിഞ്ച മോഹമേവ ച പാണ്ഡവ ന ദ്വേഷ്ടി സംപ്രവൃത്താനി ന നിവൃത്താനി കാംക്ഷതി. കൃഷ്ണ സേസ് ദാറ്റ് ഹേ അർജുന പാണ്ഡവ, സംപ്രവൃത്താനി പ്രകാശഞ്ച പ്രവൃത്തിഞ്ച, ദി സൈൻ ഓഫ് ഇലുമിനേഷൻ ഈസ് പ്രകാശം ആൻഡ് ഓൾസോ ഫ്രീഡം ഫ്രം ആൻഡ് ഗിവിംഗ് അപ് പ്രവൃത്തി ആൻഡ് മോഹം, യു ഹാവ് ദി ആക്ടിവിറ്റീസ് ആൻഡ് ഡിസയേഴ്സ് ആൻഡ് ന ദ്വേഷ്ടി നിവൃത്താനി, ദാറ്റ് ഹി ഡസ് നോട്ട് ഫൈൻഡ് ഫോൾട്ട് വിത്ത് എനിത്തിങ് എൽസ് ഇൻ ദിസ് വേൾഡ്. And such a person, nakamkshadi, he is also not inquiring for happiness in this world. Sagunati da uchare. He has crossed over the three modes of nature. Then Krishna spoke about in verse 23, 24 and 25. Udasino vadasino gunairyo navichalyade. Gunavartanda ityava yovadishtadinengade. Yaha udasinaval asinaha gunaiha navichalyade. Gunaha eva vartande iti. In other words, one who lives as a witness for all his activities and without getting entangled in that and not being moved by the happiness and distress that comes from there. Yaha avatishtadi, that he is situated properly with discrimination. Na ingade samadukha sukaha, that he is also equally situated with happiness and distress. And swastaha, he is steady. Samaloshtashma kanjanaha, that equal sees everything on a same level, whether it is gold or earth or whatever it is. Tulya priya priyaha, he is also peaceful, whether he is glorified or insulted. Dhiraha, he is always very courageous. And tulya nindalmaha samskritihi, whether you give him praise or you insult him, in either case, he is equally situated. Manapa maneho, in glorification or insult, tulyaha, equally situated. Mitrari pachayoho, he doesn't have friends and enemies. Tulyaha, always equal. Sarvarambha parityagi, He has given up all unnecessary adrishtam. That means all kinds of endeavors. Yaha, one who is situated like that, saha, that person, gunatidaha, he has crossed over the three modes of material nature. And in the end of that chapter, the last two verses, which are more important than all others, Krishna says there, Mamshiyo vibhijarena bhakti yogena sevade sagunan samadhi teidan brahmavuyaya kalpade. Yaha mamchaha, one who is actually approaches Krishna. Avyabhijarena bhakti yogena sevate, one who serves Krishna in pure devotional service, on pure Krishna consciousness, saha, such a person, edan gunan samaditya, after crossing over the three modes of material nature, brahmabhuyaya kalpade, he attains the position of brahmabhudam, or brahmabhuda stage. He reaches that stage, Krishna says here. And then, in the last verse, brahmanohi pratishtaham amradasya avyayasya cha shashvatasya dharmasya suga segandigasya cha. Krishna says, he, aham, because that person is brahmanaha, he is situated in the brahman, tatha avyayasya amradasya cha. Therefore, he is qualified for eternal liberation, and I am pratishtaha, I am his shelter. Tatha shashvatasya dharmasya cha. Similarly, he is also the eternally religious principles he is following. Tatha aigandhikasya sukhasya cha. Therefore, he is also qualified for the continuous happiness, and I am the source of such a thing. So, like that, Krishna concluded that 14th chapter. We have just begun the 15th chapter on last Sunday. So, this 15th chapter is a very important chapter. All chapters are important in Bhagavad Gita. But this 15th chapter is particularly important because in this 15th chapter, Krishna has spoken certain things, and it is one of the most difficult chapters also. Difficult in the sense, unless you give a close attention to what is spoken about this chapter, sometimes you will miss the whole point. There is so much Krishna has practiced. It's a very small chapter. It's only 20 verses in there. There's only 20 verses in this chapter. It's one of the short chapters also in the Bhagavad Gita. There's only two verse chapters, 15th chapter, which is only 20 verses each. But each of these chapters have so much instructions from Krishna about the spiritual life. Krishna begins everything, speaks a little bit and leaves it there. And this is how Arjuna continuously has to listen to Krishna. Arjuna has to hear from Krishna so many things. And every time Krishna starts something and leaves it there. Because it is only by doing in that way, Krishna is bringing Arjuna to understand the science of spiritual life from all different angles. And here in this particular chapter, Krishna has spoken in one thing, that the results of activities of a karmi, one who is performing actions, and the goal of jnani, or one who attains the goal, both of them, ultimately, they are in my control, Krishna says. It's not that they are independent. Devotee, no doubt about it, is surrendered to Krishna. He is taking Krishna's shelter, and only by Krishna's mercy, he makes the progress in Krishna consciousness. But even, Krishna says, the result of the karmam of the karmis, or the people who are endeavoring in the path of karmam, and the jnanis, they are also, and their results also, all depends on Krishna. But Krishna says, those who take shelter of me through the process of bhakti yogam, very soon they acquire perfection, and they will first achieve the required knowledge, and then eventually they transcend the three modes of material nature and get liberated, Krishna says. So, if that is the case, one who has properly understood this principle of the soul, what possibility, there is no possibility of them not getting liberated. That is what Krishna is saying here. So, although Krishna has not spoken about, asked about the soul in this chapter, Arjuna has not asked about the soul in this chapter, Krishna begins about the topic of soul straight away. Krishna begins about the topic of soul. Arjuna has not asked about this, he has not asked about the science of the soul. So, but still, Krishna begins about the subject of soul in this chapter. That is the difference from other chapters. The reason for that is Arjuna then and Krishna begins with this Urdhamulam, that this particular tree, what Krishna describes here. And why did he talk about this tree? The only purpose was to develop detachment in Arjuna's mind. Vairagyam is absolutely necessary to understand spiritual life. And when there is no vairagyam, attachment to material life and material happiness, it is difficult to penetrate Krishna consciousness into one's heart. And that is the point what Krishna is making here through this chapter. You will see here at the end, the whole material existence is discussed. In order to talk about the soul, first thing Krishna begins with material existence. So going back to the basics again, Krishna is going back to the basics again. Krishna says that the purpose of this at the end, you will see, the purpose of whole of this chapter is to generate certain renunciation in the person's mind. Because the lack of renunciation is the cause of not able to get fixed up in spiritual knowledge. Or because our mind is all the time wavering in one direction or the other. And in this chapter, Krishna will also discuss about the mind in little bit more detail to show us the nature of the mind and how this mind is the whole problem in our spiritual life. And especially when there is a lot of excessive attachment to material happiness and material life, spiritual progress is not possible. So in order to demonstrate that, in order to make that fact very, very clear, Krishna begins with this point that what is vairagyam, what is detachment from this world, renunciation. Those things are spoken about in this chapter. Now, as I mentioned before, that the Krishna says, Shri Bhagavan Vacha, Krishna says, Urdhvamulamatha shakha ashvattham brahuravyayam chandamsi yasya varnani yastum vedasa vedavil. That is the first verse in the 15th chapter. Urdhvamulamatha shakha ashvattham brahuravyayam chandamsi yasya varnani yastum vedasa vedavil. This particular verse, particularly this chapter, Bhagavad Gita has a very close connection with Kathopanishad. You have to remember, Kathopanishad and Bhagavad Gita goes more or less parallel. And many of the verses in the Bhagavad Gita have come from Kathopanishad. So this particular verse also appears in the Kathopanishad. In Kathopanishad, the verse comes like this, Urdhamulam avakshakha yesho ashvattha sanadana. That is how it's spoken in the Kathopanishad. This verse in Kathopanishad comes like that. Where Madhurma Raja spoke to Nachiketas, that is where this discussion comes about this Urdhamula Mathashaka, this verse. So Kathopanishad and Bhagavad Gita close very, very closely. And the another interesting thing is that Urdhamula Mathashaka, this Samsara Vriksham, or the tree of material existence, that is what is discussed in this particular verse, the material existence. But if you read the verse, straight away you won't get that impression. What is this? Krishna is only saying here, Urdhamulam. Urdhamulam means, Urdha means upwards. Krishna is talking about a tree here. And this tree has got its roots going upwards. Going upwards. Normally, all the trees in this world, the roots goes downwards, isn't it? But Krishna is talking about a tree here, which has got its roots upwards. Urdhamulam. And its branches are going downwards, Krishna says. Atho shakha. So, the tree has its roots going upwards and the branches going downwards. And it's called an ashwatha tree. Ashwatha means a banyan tree. It's a banyan tree. Krishna says, a tree exists like this. Urdhamulam atho shakham. Ashwatham. It's a banyan tree that exists, Krishna says. Prahu avyayam. And it is existing all the time. It never gets destroyed, Krishna says. Ashwattham prahuravayam. Then, chandamsi yasya parnani. The leaves of that tree are the Vedas. The Vedas are the leaves of the tree. Chandas. Chandas means the Vedic hymns. Vedic hymns are the leaves of that tree. Yastam Vedasa Vedavid. One who knows this tree, he understands Vedas. That's all. That's all Krishna has said. Krishna expects us to understand what it means ఫ్రమ్ దిస్ ఊర్ధ్వమూలం అథోశాఖం అశ్వత్థం ప్రాహు అవ్యయం ఛందాంసి యస్య పర్ణాని యస్త్వం వేదస వేదవిద్. దిస్ ఇస్ హౌ కృష్ణ బిగిన్స్ దట్ వర్డ్స్. నౌ అట్ ది ఎండ్ ఆఫ్ దిస్ చాప్టర్ ఇఫ్ యూ లుక్ ద లాస్ట్ వర్డ్స్ వాట్ డస్ కృష్ణ సేస్ దేర్ ఇదం గుహ్యతమం శాస్త్రం. This science, Krishna says, this guhyatamam is extremely confidential, Krishna says. Guhyam, guhyataram, guhyatamam. Three stages. Guhyam means confidential. Guhyataram means further confidential. Guhyatamam means supermost confidential, Krishna says. Idam guhyatamam shastram. In 20 verses, the whole shastram Krishna has spoken. And also, Krishna says, this shastram is extremely confidential. Only when you go through this 20 verses, you will recognize and appreciate the confidentiality of these verses. Because this yoga of the Supreme Person, what is discussed in this particular chapter, is one of the most important chapters in the sense that it is considered itself a topic. One who can understand this chapter and properly reflect on that, he doesn't have to know anything else in this world. It is to that extent complete in itself. That is the beauty of this chapter. Urdhamoilam athashaka ashwattam prahuravyayam chandamsi esyaparnani estvam vedasa vedavil. That is why in the verse 20, in the last verse, Krishna says, idam guhyadamam shastram. This shastram is very, very confidential. Very, very confidential. And the importance of this verse is this, that in these 20 verses, Krishna has packed enough for a lifelong study. In these 20 verses, Krishna has packed enough for a lifelong study. You will see that when we go through this, how enormous is the amount of knowledge what is behind it when Krishna has spoken this. Krishna knows Arjuna's limitations. Krishna knows our limitations also. Therefore, what Krishna has done is, he has spoken little bit here and there and left it to us. And just like a bite you give to a dog, give it to him and see if he is jumping for it. Exactly the same way it is. If we don't have any interest to desire to know further, Krishna says you leave it and go. Don't waste your time anymore. Unless that strong desire is there to understand what Krishna is saying, you will not be able to go further in this. That is why it's spoken in that way. Krishna doesn't want it is to be a topic to be discussed in the marketplaces. It is a topic which is related to the absolute truth, Krishna's Supreme Personality of Godhead. And it's only meant for those people who have the genuine interest to know about Krishna and to understand Krishna. It is for them that Bhagavad Gita was spoken. That is why so many things in Bhagavad Gita, if you read it first time or second time, you may not get the message what Krishna was trying to get through this. But great acharyas who have studied Bhagavad Gita and their commentaries on Bhagavad Gita will often bring it out, the important parts what Krishna has been presenting through this different verses in the Bhagavad Gita. Just like sometimes all of us are in our process of advancing in spiritual life, every living entity in this world. But what happens is, normally you notice that some people have a little more interest than the other in the spiritual life, isn't it? Some people take a little bit more interest than the other. Why is that happening? The reason for that is, when we have gone through how many lifetimes, we don't know. So many lifetimes we have passed through. When this journey has started, nobody knows. When this journey is going to end also, we don't know. We are somewhere in the middle somewhere. But those who had a little opportunity in their previous lives to come to spiritual life or had some interest in spiritual life, they are the ones who are able to take some interest in this lifetime. Sometimes some people have no interest at all in the spiritual life. The reason for that is, in their previous lifetimes also, they had no interest in spiritual life. And sometime, due to association of a devotee or due to association of a great soul, sometimes they will get interested in this long journey, what they have started. Sometimes you notice some people, no matter how much you talk to them about Bhagavad Gita and how much they read Bhagavad Gita, they will still won't take to it. Why? Because none of the lifetimes before they had any interest in that. It's probably they even got the first time the human body. We do not know the person's past. So therefore, it is very difficult to say that everyone's position in spiritual life is different. According to one's own past activities in the previous lifetimes, that will more or less determine our position in this life also. So that is why it is spoken that Krishna knows these things more than us. And therefore, it is no point in making huge propaganda about it, because everyone will not be ready for it, to take to it also. But those who are sincere and genuine, they'll come to further investigate, further inquire about this. So that is why in this says Krishna has talked about this tree here. Now, talking about a tree in the form, talking about presenting the truth in the form of a tree has been existing from time immemorial, from Upanishad's times. It has been a practice. It's not a new thing. This bringing, presenting things in the form of a tree. In Chaitanya Charitamrita also you will find Chaitanya tree. It says about a tree there. Isn't it? Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and the branches. It's all spoken like a tree there. So talking about a tree like this is not a new thing. It has been always there. In all Upanishads you will find everything presented in the form of a tree. So this tree, presentation of the tree is from the olden times. In all Upanishads you will notice this. Then in Chandogya Upanishad also, it talks about the tree. And there it says, in the Chandogya Upanishad, the tree, it says like this, that if you cut the bottom part of the tree, the one branch at the bottom, that branch dries up and the life goes away from that branch. If you cut another branch in the middle of the tree, that branch dries up and the life goes away from that branch. If you cut a branch on the top of the tree, that branch also loses its life and dries up. If you cut the whole tree, the whole life, the tree finishes. And then the sages are saying there, in the Chandogya Upanishad it says like this, that this tree also does something else. The roots suck the water from the ground, and when it gets the water, and the tree is exhibiting its happiness. In other words, what you have to realize here is the depth of understanding of the sages, that they're able to look at the tree, and from the tree they could derive this pleasure, that this tree is experiencing, there is life in the tree, and the tree was experiencing the happiness when it was receiving the water from the earth, and it was enjoying that presence of the water in the tree. The tree was experiencing that. What it is showing to us is that the sages of those days were able to see these things without any experiments and laboratories. They are able to sense, in other words, to show that the depth of their thoughts, what depth they have gone in. For a long, long time, scientists even didn't accept there was life in the tree. This is our modern science. Modern science could not even accept there was life in the tree. It only came up much later that they started accepting that there is life in the tree also. J.C. Bose was a scientist who took it up very seriously, and he proved it to the scientific world that the life exists in the tree. Previously, they never even believed. They started laughing at him, saying when he started saying this. So if they have laughed at him for saying that there is life in the tree, what would they have laughed at the sages then for saying that the tree was actually feeling happiness? When he said like that, they would have even more laughed at him. They said he was completely loose in his head. That's what they would have said. But what it is important here is that the sages were in a position to identify and to locate that the feelings and of the tree, and what to talk about the animals and birds. They have gone to such an extent, they have studied the nature and they have observed this power inside the tree, what it exists. So, urdhvamoola mathashaka ashwattham prahuravyayam chandamsi yasya parnani yastvam vedasa vedavil. Now, in this particular tree, Krishna says, one who knows this tree, which has got its roots upwards and the branches downwards, they understand, and the leaves, which are the Vedic literature, Krishna says, they understand the Vedas. They understand the Vedas. In a tree, this part which goes underneath is a very important part, isn't it? We all are interested how far the root of the tree goes. We normally look at the tree and we make so many observations. But at the same time, when the root goes downwards, the root is absorbing and supplying the energy for the whole tree to survive. Isn't it? The whole tree survives because of the presence of the roots. And root does the... And the root does the whole job, the root sucks the water and supplies to the whole tree. So the root has a very important function. Root has a very important function. And so therefore, Krishna starts with the root, urdhva moolam. Therefore, the root is spoken first. What else the root does? Now, the root, how deep the root goes, to that extent, based on that, how tall the tree can be. How tall the tree can be. How tall the tree can be. That is also another important factor. Buddha says, Lord Buddha, he says, that if the tree wants to go up in the sky further and further, you have to go deeper and deeper into the earth. That is always the true nature of the tree. Many, many huge banyan trees you will see who goes very high. Their roots go so deep and those spread so much. That is the nature. But that main root which goes down so deep, that is so important for that tree to survive. It depends on that. So the root is an important thing. The deeper the root goes down the earth, the higher, taller the tree can grow. That's why it is important. That's why it said, urdhva moolam atha shakha ashvattham prahuravyayam chandamsi yasya varnani yasvam vedasa vedavin. That here we are talking about another tree. It is compared to a tree. It starts, begins with a tree. Tree, you also notice that tree, this tree is called tree of material existence, samsaram. Tree of material existence. And this tree is a little bit difficult to understand because this tree cannot be seen. It exists, but it cannot be seen. This tree, what Krishna is talking about, is a difficult tree to see, to observe, unless one is thoughtful and one goes deeply into Krishna's instructions. Otherwise, we won't understand. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, you'll find, in the fifth canto, there is a chapter called Forest of Enjoyment. It's a little bit reflection of this tree. It's a reflection of this tree. So similarly, this tree, which exists, Krishna says, this tree exists. In one point, Krishna also says, you cut this tree with a sword, which doesn't exist either. So you have to cut a tree which doesn't exist, and you have to cut it with a sword which also doesn't exist. So that is how all the Upanishads are spoken. The language in the Upanishads are like that. That is why all what is spoken in the Bhagavad Gita, everything what Krishna has spoken, should be thought about very seriously and try to understand, capture what is the message through these verses. Otherwise, simply hearing like a story, Bhagavatam people hear just to hear the stories. And they hear the stories, they are just satisfied with that. Oh, it was not too bad, nice story they say. And then they go home. That is not good enough, because in the Bhagavatam also Krishna says, hearing the stories is good, but ultimately, vijnana vairagya vivakshaya vibho navo nato vibho dera nata paramarthyam. All these stories were spoken with a particular intention. What was that? Vijnana vairagya vivakshaya vibho. In order to create vijnanam, transcendental knowledge and experience of that knowledge, vairagyam, detachment from material life, vijnana vairagya vivakshaya vibho, vajo vibho der nadu paramarthyam. It is not only speaking about Krishna's glories, but it is also the absolute truth, what is spoken in the Srimad Bhagavatam. This comes from the very end of Bhagavatam, in the 12th canto, I think probably in the 8th or 9th chapter, Sukadeva Goswami says this to Parikshit, all these stories, 7 days I have spoken only with one intention, so that vijnana vairagya vivakshaya vibhom, in order to create vijnanam, experience the, to realize all what has been spoken, that is vijnanam, vairagyam and detachment from material life. In order to create that, I have spoken all these stories, Krishna says, Sukadeva Goswami says there. Similarly, in Bhagavad Gita also you will find the same thing Krishna says. Janma karma jame divyam evam yo veti tatvada. Krishna says, my appearance and my activities, evam yo veti tatvada. If one understands in truth, tatvada, the tatvam behind it, then Krishna says, tektva deham punarjanmam. Then he don't have to come back again here. Don't have to come back again. Tattvadeham nar janmanaidi maamedi so arjunaha. Krishna says to Arjuna, in that case, he comes back to me. So, when you read that verse, everybody asks the question, what is this big thing to understand about his appearance and he is born and he has left this world, so what's there to know about it? So that's why that word particularly used there, tatvada. Tatvada means in truth, the principle behind it. That principle is what Bhagavad Gita is. The whole Bhagavad Gita is talking about, all these chapters are a part of that principle. That's why, unless we deeply understand the Bhagavad Gita, we will not understand what Krishna has instructed us to do in Bhagavad Gita as well as in the Srimad Bhagavatam. So similarly here also, in this particular chapter, Krishna has discussed one thing called a tree. Discussed one tree, that's all it is. And sometimes you have, I don't know, some of you may have come across what's called a family tree, isn't it? We talk about family tree. You see that? That family tree, generally they'll make one tree and then you bring it home. And then they've got these small egg-shaped things which hang on to different branches. You put the photographs, little things of different members of the family and hang it up. So one such a tree, people do all sorts of things like that. So one such a tree was given as a gift to somebody. He took it home. A young boy, he got it and he told his mother, how do I set it up? So mother explained to the boy that you get the photographs of your father, mother, grandfather, grandmother, and rare cases, great-grandfather or great-grandmother, if they are still available. Probably there was no photograph there at that time. But generally we don't know even whether they existed or who they were, we have no idea. But still the child very enthusiastically gets all the photos and he puts it up everywhere. So, and then he says, oh, this is my family, I come from this family. He feels great pleasure from that. So this kind of things are done in this world. And so when you do that, you will keep the oldest member on the top, the grandfather and the grandmother, and then all the other photos from the lower branches, and you are somewhere at the bottom of the tree, you hung up your own photo also. So all people spend their time in this way because they have so much to do and they are busy with all this family tree. But Krishna is talking about another tree here. This tree is much bigger than that tree. That is the difference with this tree and the other tree. The tree is so big. This tree is so big. Krishna says, don't try to completely understand this tree. Nobody can understand this tree. That is why it is said like that. Urdhvamulam atho shakha ashvattham prahuravyayam chandamsi yasya varnani yastum vedasavedavil. Now, this tree has a certain characteristics. So therefore, we'll start with the root. First, what this root is. The root is like this. Earlier, somewhere in the, I think it was in the chapter 8, when we discussed in chapter 8, verse 16, Srila Prabhupada wrote about a thing called Panchagni Vidya there. Panchagni Vidya was discussed in that chapter. So the same thing is coming back here also. Normally, the living entity states in three states of existence, isn't it? Jagrat, Sopnam and Sushupti. That means the awakened state, the dream state and the deep sleep. So, now, this three states of existence is a normal condition of the soul. Soul exists in these three states. In addition to that, what else? There are two more things. Either we have a male body or we have a female body, isn't it? Either we have a male body or we have a female body. Now, these five things together, which are they? The two bodies, male body and the female body. And this soul is moving upwards and downwards in the three planetary systems, particularly in the Karma Mandalam. What are the Karma Mandalam? If you look at the Gayatri Mantram, it starts with Bhu, Bhuva, Swa. Isn't it? Bhulogam, Bhurlogam, Surlogam. That means Bhulogam, Bhurlogam and Surlogam. This is called the Karma Mandalam. So the soul, as long as it is active, unless it's released from the bondage, it has to go up and down here, within these three worlds, Bhulogam, Bhurlogam and Surlogam. When the activities are very pious, and if he has to enjoy the results of that, he gets promoted to the Surlogam. When the activities are poor and he has finished all his happiness, everything there, finished his bank account, comes back here again to Bhulogam. Sometimes, when happiness and distress he has to experience in between, he has to go to the middle also, Bhurlogam. So that's why those three letters in the Gayatri Mantram, Bhulogam, Bhurlogam and Surlogam, comes from there. From in these three planets, the soul moves up and down. So, these three worlds, Bhulogam, Bhurlogam, Surlogam, then the male and female, these five things are called Panchagni. So the soul, when it comes in, it gets caught up in this, in these five things. It has no freedom from to escape from that. So Panchagni Vidya is that Vidya or technique by which one gets released from this. That's Panchagni Vidya. But it is a very difficult process to get out of this, in control of these five things. Bhulogam, Bhurlogam, Surlogam. It's also called as Bhulogam, Parjanyalogam, Dhyulogam. Dhyulogam is Surgalogam. Parjanyalogam is the Bhurlogam. And Bhulogam is Earth, the earthly planet. Now, out of these three, which one is more important? The important one is the earthly planet, Bhulogam. Why? Because in Bhurlogam and Surgalogam, we cannot acquire merit, or we cannot acquire demerit also. In other words, activities in this world, in Bhulogam, is what decides whether the soul should go up, where it should stay. Eventually, this is its base from where it operates all the time. It is here that one executes his karmam, and karmam and its results are acquired from here. Whether it's happiness or distress, that results are acquired in this world. Results are acquired in this world. So, in Panchagni Vidya, or this system, what happens is that, normally, as I mentioned before, Stulam, Sushmam, Karanam. Three different types of bodies we have, isn't it? The gross body, the subtle body, and the causal body inside. Stulam, gross body, is the body of this gross body, what we call ourselves, as we identify very strongly with. That's what we are. We think as we are. That's a gross body. Then there is the subtle body. Subtle body is the mind, intelligence, and false ego. That sits in there. And then when it crosses over than that, when you go into deep sleep, it exists in the causal body, which is full of ignorance. But at the same time, it's free from the influence of the mind and the influence of the mind and influence of the senses or the intelligence. All three are not active at that time. So therefore, basically that's what decides. In the gross body, we are acting with the everything, mind, senses, everything is functional. Once you go into the dream body, immediately the senses stops. There is no more gross activities anymore. We have gone to the subtle body and we are functioning there. And when we leave the the dream body or the subtle body, we move on further. The mind also settles down. No more activity after that. Mind collapses or mind stops, and also as well as the senses also stops. Even intelligence stops. But what is experienced in the causal state or in the deep sleep is what basically we call as the sushupti state, is the ignorance of that sushupti gives us certain detachment from this world. We are disconnected. So soul is not connected with this world at that moment in sushupti. Sushupti, soul is not connected with this world. But at the same time, soul experiences deep ignorance also from the sleep. The tamas is also present there. But a ray of happiness, because of the not presence of the material world, brings some connection with the spiritual truth, with the soul. So that's why when you wake up from that, immediately sometimes we say, oh, I had a good sleep, isn't it? We all say that, I had a good sleep. What does it mean? It means that I was out of the material world. That's what it all meant. That in order to show that, Krishna is giving us an indication to us, just by going to the deep sleep state, you can even get out of the material world. So a second or a realization or a few minutes or an hour of being away from material world gives so much happiness. When we come back to it, but we think, oh, I got back to my original place now, which is the place of misery, what Krishna calls it. So that is how you have to understand this Jagrat, Swapnam, Sushupti. Sulam, Sushmam, Karanam, these three bodies and these three states of existence. This is whole in the Bhagavadam, and Bhagavad Gita is also talking about it, and that is what we are discussing in this verses also. So Stula Sushma Karanam, Jagra Swapnam Sushupti, in these three states of existence, the souls transfer. The interesting thing here is, when we go to the, we think all the time, we say also, and we believe in this very strongly, that everything that is happening in the Jagrat is the reality, we say. Isn't it? Jagrat is in the reality, what we call it. As soon as we go into the dream state, this Jagrat is not a reality anymore. But so long as we are awake, we consider this as Jagrat. When we come back from dream state, back to Jagrat state, to the vacant state, we think, oh, I just had a dream. And in other words, in our mind we are thinking, that's not a real thing. This is what is real. But from the Shastri point of view, neither this is real nor that is real. You see, neither the Jagrat state is real nor the dream state is real. Because it is souls, different elements under entanglement in different states, that's all. In one state the mind is entangled, in another state senses are entangled. So, unfortunately, because these things, knowledge is not available in the material world and people have not thought in this direction, Krishna is making us aware in Bhagavad Gita as well as in the Srimad Bhagavatam. This is why this knowledge is so important, that Krishna is instructing us. The living entity has no freedom. It has only freedom to move within these three states, back and forth all the time. And every time, in whichever state it is, it calls that as the real at that time. It experiences that as the real state at that particular time. When it's in the vacant state, it doesn't consider the other two as real. But when it is in the dream state, it considers dream as the real state, not the deep sleep or the vacant state. So that is one important thing here. So, Jagrat, Swapnam, Sushupti, Stulam, Sushmam, Karanam, and then these five things, which are the Bhulogam, Varlogam, Surlogam, and male and female. What happens? As soon as we come to this world, we have come down to this Karma Mandalam, immediately what starts here, in one of these bodies we occupy, male body or female body, different species, and then continue our actions in this world, without any knowledge what we are supposed to do. And the action continues so long, for so long a time, that eventually, based on the pious or sinful activities, we change the body. When we change the body, we get another body, ready there, straight away, to take it. Get into that body. Continue the same business again. Like this, so many lifetimes have gone. So many lifetimes have gone without able to free ourselves from this cycle, karma chakram as it is called. So this chakram, which Krishna has discussed earlier also, evam pravartidam chakram nanuvartayati khaya khairindriya ramo mogham parthasa jivari. Krishna says that in the beginning. So in this chakram of this karmam, we have gotten and unable to free ourselves from that. And this has gone on for so long, in so many lifetimes, that we just do not know where we are today. How far we have traveled, how far more we have to go. And this is the most unfortunate thing, because when we are not able to wake up to this reality, that this is what is actually happening, and thinking that this short period in this world, 50, 60 or 70 years is everything in life, and try to think in that way, Krishna calls it as the suicide. That's the suicide. Because this knowledge is only available from Krishna. Nobody else is given this knowledge. Even the great sages, they have also spoken about many, many things. But when it comes to the true identity of the soul and its passage and its the process by which is called Krishna consciousness or Bhagavata Dharmam, Krishna has spoken himself about that. He didn't leave that to others. You will see in the Bhagavatam also. When it comes to Krishna consciousness, the process by which you can release from this cycle, that was spoken by Krishna himself. Because all other things, Ashtanga Yoga and so many other processes of yoga systems, Krishna has left it others to speak. Sri Narada Maharshi has spoken, and Patanjali has spoken, and so many, Vasishtha has spoken. So many other great sages have opened up so many, in so much knowledge from the Vedic literature they have given us. But when it comes to Krishna consciousness and Bhagavata Dharmam, Krishna has taken it upon himself to speak about that. He didn't want any kind of confusion later about it. And therefore, Bhagavata Dharmam propagated by Krishna himself. He hasn't left it to anybody else. In Bhagavatam as well as in the Bhagavad Gita, the two literature which Krishna has left behind, Krishna has spoken about this process of Bhagavata Dharmam. So, Urdhamulamatha Shagha. So, normally, the function of the root is to bring the life or the water or the nourishment to the tree, isn't it? But this tree, because the roots are upwards and the branches are downwards. What else is the speciality of this tree? The speciality of this tree is this, that this tree has so many branches in so many different directions. So what will happen is, ഛന്ദാംസി യസ്യ വർണാനി യസ്ത്വം വേദ സവേദവിൽ ദൻ കർമ്മം വാട്ട് വി പെർഫോം ഇൻ ദിസ് വേൾഡ് ദ കർമ്മം വാട്ട് വി പെർഫോം ഇൻ ദിസ് വേൾഡ് ഇസ് ദ മെയിൻ ഫാക്ടർ ഹിയർ ഇസ് എ ദാറ്റ് ഈസ് ദ വൺ വിച്ച് ഹാസ് ടു ബി കൺട്രോൾഡ് ദാറ്റ് ഈസ് ദ വൺ വിച്ച് ഹാസ് ടു ബി ബ്രോട്ട് അണ്ടർ കൺട്രോൾ ബിക്കോസ് ദാറ്റ് ഈസ് വാട്ട് ഈസ് ഇൻക്രീസിംഗ് അവർ ലൈഫ് ഇൻ ദിസ് വേൾഡ് in this material existence or samsaram material existence it's called it increases according to our karma karma has a very strong link with that if the karma is purified and if the karma is linked to krishna then this is won't happen it's finished there but when the karma is controlled by the when the karma is controlled by the modes of nature and when the living entity engages in sinful activities the result of all that is it has to experience the continuous material existence so so Krishna says here then the tree that has come downwards the branches which has come downwards it has got all the fruits on that tree isn't it what are those fruits the fruits are nothing but the fruits we enjoy from our activities the fruits we enjoy from our activities so Krishna is saying here this tree which has its root upwards and the branches downwards all the roots are upwards and the branches are downwards and on the branches there are lot of fruits also and these fruits are the result of our activities in this world our activities in this world so this tree in shastram is called as samsara vriksham samsara vriksham means the tree that represents the material existence our material existence that is what this tree is spoken about and another aspect of this tree is that this tree has a existence whereby it is mostly our ignorance that is manifesting in this In other words, why do we perform so many gross activities? Gross activities in this world, it comes from ignorance, isn't it? Ignorance is the cause of all these activities. So unless the ignorance goes away, the activities are not going to stop. It will continue life after life. And more these activities continue, the more and more we get, we will get more fruits to eat here. The fruits of our activities will have to come. And that fruits is going to cause us more difficulties also. So that is what Krishna is saying there. Then so you can see that this particular tree, all its fruits are downwards. All its fruits are downwards. Now let us look at how the root has gone upwards. Why the root has gone upwards? Normally, we live in this world. But for our survival in this world, everything has to come from the top, isn't it? Everything has to come from the top. For example, the sunlight, the rain, and dew, and moonshine. Everything what we, for to sustain life in this world, it has to come from the top, isn't it? It has to come from the top. This earth on its own doesn't have everything. This is supposed to be considered to be in darkness. This earthly planet is in darkness. It cannot exist on its own. Its existence, for example, in order that the life to sustain here, all the ingredients necessary has to come from the top. Has to come from the top. It is because of that because it comes from the top, it is compared to the roots coming from the top. You see? The roots are coming from the top for this reason. That the life in this earthly planet is only excess. Only if it is fed by the ingredients that comes from the top. That is what sustains this life in this world. And because it is like that, the roots are considered to be at the top. And the branches are at the bottom. That is why it is said like that. That unless the roots supply what we need here, Urdhvalokam, that is Krishna refers to Urdhvalokam. Urdhvamulamatho shakha. In fact, everything what we can enjoy here, for example, due to the presence of sun and the moon and the rain and all other things, the vegetables and plants and trees grow here. It's not only essential for our own sustenance, for our own life, even for other living entities, whether it's plants, trees, bees, birds, whatever it is, they all require these things. None of them can survive here without these presence of these. And they are coming from the top. They are coming from the top. It is not coming from this planet, sun planet or moon planet or wherever it is coming from. So normally we tend to not to take into account these things, isn't it? We take it for granted. Oh, it's coming anyway. It will come for many years. Krishna is not saying that you are surviving here due to your technology. Technology all will finish the moment that power is withdrawn from the top. Is it not? What technology will be there in this world? We'll be eating each other to survive here. That's what will happen here. At least some sanity in this world is only because it's controlled from somebody somewhere at the top. You can call it Krishna's energy or somebody else. But somebody is controlling from the top. That is why in this planet life is sustained. Not due to our so-called great intelligence or due to the presence of United Nations or anything else. We make all these things and foolishly we engross all our mind in that. Isn't it? We engross our mind in all these things, thinking that this is what is keeping the peace in this world. No, nothing is keeping peace. It's coming from there also. That's also coming from the top. So that is what Krishna is saying here. This material existence tree, samsara vriksham it's called. This samsara vriksham survives because the roots are supplying what's necessary for this from the top. And that's coming from Brahma, Lord, from Brahman. From Brahman it comes. Brahman is the source from it comes from. Prabhupada puts it in the Bhagavad Gita commentary in a little different way. He says there that it's like a tree standing on the branches of a lake or a river, where the root, if you look at the tree down in the water, it's upside down, isn't it? It's upside down. So, in other words, Prabhupada is saying there that this tree upside down is only there because the other tree is there on the surface. It's standing. Therefore, this tree exists. Similarly, our life in this world exists because somebody is there upstairs keeping us here. That is why we exist here. Otherwise, we won't be able to even exist here. What to talk about doing all these wonderful things what we do in this world? Even that may not, there's no question of discussing that. So our very existence depends on that root that's coming from the top. Sometimes when we are in great distress, what do? We look up, isn't it? Why do we look up? Because we know the help can only come from there, not from the earth. That's why we look to the top. Helpless situation. What shall I do now? Yeah. This is natural thing for the soul to do that because of its helpless state. Isn't it? So, urdhva moolam atho shakha. That moolam is upwards. So that's what we have to remember. Our root is upwards there. It's there we have come from. And that's where we will eventually go back also when the tree finishes. When the tree gets killed, this tree we have to kill at the end, because for those who are entangled in their activities, making project after project in this world, for them this tree is very big. For them this tree is very big. But for those who have come to the spiritual life, for them the tree shrinks day by day. The tree shrinks. When they get a higher understanding of the tree, they will try to minimize the activities and the tree will shrink. And Krishna says, one day you have to cut that tree completely. With a sword which doesn't exist, as I said before, that sword also doesn't exist. So, like this, Krishna is giving an explanation of that tree. He says everything and leave it to Arjuna to take it from there further. So, urdhvamulamatho shakha ashwatham prahuravyayam chandamsi yasya varnani yastum vedasavedavil. Then, the reason why it is spoken like this as an upside down tree is because of this. That we, the people who are working in this world, who are living in this world, living entities, generally, not only the human society, all the living entities in this world execute their karma here. And they enjoy the results of their karma, enjoy or suffer, whichever that is. That is the karma phalam, they get it here. And they go further up to the higher planets if there is a lot of pious activities, or come down to the earthly planet when the pious activities are finished. So this way, between these three planets, planetary systems, we are floating. We are floating. The living entity is floating. But the survival of in these three planetary systems or in these three states is only because from the higher things, are everything is controlled from the top, from Brahman. Brahman controls all that things there. So that is why this comparison of the tree here, that we live here as in the branches, and like monkeys we live and we carry on day after day thinking that we are the ones who are doing everything and we are the ones who runs the show. Like this ignorance has crept in so much from the tamogunam inside. So Krishna is making us this point very clear, that if you understand this tree, Krishna says first to understand that such a tree exists. Even that we may find it difficult to accept sometimes, isn't it? Because we say, where is that tree? I can't see it. That will be our way of answering that question. So therefore, Krishna has also kept it to the minimum, knowing well that this is the type of people who are going to come to listen to this. So he also says in the same way, urdhvamulam atho shakha. In few words he has spoken, and if those who are sincere and seriously want to find out, they'll find out. Nobody is going to stop them. And those who are not interested, they are not going to find out anyway. So what's the point in discussing it length, the discussion? If you see in the Bhagavatam, parokshavado vedoyam balanam anushasanam, everything is spoken paroksham. Paroksham means in indirect way. That is Krishna's way. And Krishna says, parokshanja mama priyam, I like it that way. Krishna says, everything, because if you make this topic, this spiritual knowledge, Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, particularly what Krishna has spoken, nobody else, Krishna has spoken, in Bhagavad Gita as well as in the Srimad Bhagavatam, is always confidential. It's always confidential. And it should, Krishna also says there, you should not go and make it a cheap subject to talk to people, because those who have no faith in these things, they will ridicule it. There is no point in talking to them. That's Krishna's point. There's no point in talking to them. So those who have come to that, ready for it, to understand, to accept Krishna's instructions, only to them, durvinidaya, Krishna says to such people, it shouldn't be spoken. He says to Dhava like this. In the Bhagavad Gita also at the end, Krishna says the same thing to Arjuna. Both to Arjuna as well as to Dhava, Krishna has spoken these things very openly, that you shouldn't discuss these topics with people who have no interest. And Dambhaya, who has got pride in them, who cannot understand or accept the higher authorities or what Krishna has spoken here in the processes, different processes. So, then now we have talked about the roots as well as the roots as well as the branches, and on the branches Krishna says here that. This urdhamulam is discussed, mentioned like this. Sarvavyabhagatvena, sarvakaranatvena, sarvandagatvena, parambrahma, urdham iti uchade. Urdham means that sarvavyabhagatvena, it is spread everywhere. The tree is spread everywhere. And what else? Sarvakaranatvena, it is the cause of everything. Because it is from there, everything has come. Everything has come from there. And parambrahma, urdham iti uchade. Then if we inquire for our origin, from where we came originally, from eventually we will reach there at that point. That's what Krishna says. Now it's also another thing, it is considered to an Ashwatha tree, isn't it? Ashwatha means a banyan tree. Why it's considered like a banyan tree? Because the word Ashwatha means that one which doesn't exist tomorrow. It doesn't exist tomorrow. That is what Ashwatha means. The word means Ashwatha. That doesn't exist tomorrow. So in other words, this tree is not permanent for those who are trying to escape from the material existence. That tree doesn't exist for them. Once you have escaped from that, from this material existence, the tree doesn't exist. As long as you are in the material existence, the tree does exist. Once you are released from the material existence, the tree doesn't exist. So therefore it is compared to the tree is compared to an Ashwatha tree. Now, it has no... The tree, what else is there? The leaves of the tree. The leaves are considered to be chandas. Chandas means the Vedic hymns. Then, here, normally chandas is referring to the Vedic mantras, the mantras in the Vedas. But strictly speaking, Krishna is referring here to the Karmagandam, Karmaganda section of the Vedas. The Karmagandam section is important in the Vedas. For this reason, it is through Karmagandam that you go to the heavenly planets. Isn't it? Karmagandam is process of elevating oneself into the heavenly planets, not by other means here. If you distribute say, if you feed the poor or if you open hospitals and all, you may not get there. There's no guarantee in that. But if the Vedic sacrifices mentioned in the Karmakandam is performed, because Karmakandam is a, Vedas have got three different divisions. Karmakandam, Jnanakandam, Upasanakandam. These are the three main topics in the Vedic literature, in the Vedas. Out of that, Karmakandam is the one related to the sacrifices. Performing yajnam is Karmakandam. Jnanakandam is the process of spiritual realization, so the process of knowledge. And Upasanakandam is the process of bhakti. So these three things exist in the Vedic, all Vedas covers in that. So this Karmakandam occupies a very large portion of the Vedic Vedas, which occupies a large portion of the Vedas. So by executing Karmakandam, one can go into the heavenly planets. Although the purpose of Karmakandam is not strictly for going to the heavenly planets. The purpose of Karmakandam is that by executing Karmakandam, one gets detached from the results of karma. Or in other words, one gets purified. One gets released from the implications of karma. Just like we are also trying to get out of this thing called karma. But we are unable to do it because we don't know the process. We do so many things which actually only binds us here. But Karmakandam is the process. Great, great sacrifices are mentioned. And they will excuse me. They will release us from the implications of karma. That's why it's called Karmakandam. So this Karmakandam in the Vedic literature is supposed to be executed without getting attached to its results. But what happens is, normally, great personalities who executed Karmakandam, they have realized that by executing Karmakandam, the demigods are placed and they invite you to come. They invite you to come there, to the demigods' planets, to the higher planets. And once you go there, you are attracted by the sense enjoyment of that place to such a degree that even you give up the desire for going to the spiritual world. Our mind is such a thing, as soon as some good sense gratification is offered, we will leave Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam here and run after that. This is our nature. What to talk about if you are taken to some place where the sense gratification is so high that you will not think about spiritual world and not let it stay there. I'll come later when I'm finished all this. We'll get stuck there. That is the difficulty with Karmakandam. So therefore, Krishna will criticize Karmakandis very heavily later. In the Bhagavatam you will see there. Karmakandam principle, although if it is done and executed properly, it will release us from the cycle of birth and death. One can go back and get detached from the karmic reactions, everything. And that's why Karmakandam was spoken. But generally, always what happens is, Karmakandam will take us to the heavenly planets, and then we don't want to go further from there. We'll execute according to the Karmakandam what we have performed here. You will get the results there. Very high degree of sensual happiness. And after that, come back here again. Start the whole process again. So, Krishna says that there are two things, birth and death, isn't it? Out of that, death is not so important. Death is not so important. If you see in Bhagavad Gita, in many places, Krishna will talk about birth more than death. Because death is finished, once it's dead and finished. But the sad thing is coming back again. That is the worst thing. Because, therefore, if you look at that verse, Krishna said there before, janma karma cha me divyam evam yo vyati tattvada tektva deham punarjanmam. Krishna says punarjanma means next birth, doesn't happen again. He says he's not talking about death at all in that punarjanmam. He says so janma karma cha me divyam evam yo vyati tattvada tektva deham punarjanma neiti. It will not happen to him. Punarjanmam, punarjanmam means another birth will not happen to him. Why we have to be concerned about birth than death? Because death is not a big thing. After all, every day we are dying little by little. Now when you get older, you know that the youthful body, what you had once, is not going to come back again. You come to terms with it. Similarly, the body of a young child or a boy or a girl in youthfulness, that's not going to come. That's all gone now. Older people. And for everyone, it will happen very gradually. And only difference is that one day it comes to a full stop. And then you leave, once for all, this body, what we have had so long, for so many years. But Krishna doesn't say that death is not a very important thing. What's more important is, Krishna says, is punarjanmam, that taking another birth again. So, this escape from the birth is more important than escape from the death. As far as Krishna is concerned, an intelligent person will think about another birth more deeply than another death. So that is why throughout Bhagavad Gita, as well as in the, generally when we refer to, we will say cycle of birth and death. Because it is the way the cycle runs. The cycle runs in that way. But if one is serious about finishing one's material life, one has to constantly think about this aspect of it, accepting another material body. That is why it is said like that. Janma karma cha mayi divya. So this particular karmakandam, what is discussed in the Vedic literature, normally it is performed by householders. Grihasthas are supposed to do that. Sannyasis and brahmacharis don't do that. They do not perform this. So, what will happen is, for a grihastha, when he executes this karmakandam properly, he will get the mental purity to acquire spiritual knowledge afterwards. That's how he gets released from this. See, karma yogam is nothing but a entrance to jnanam and bhakti. Basically, it is like that. That karmam, when karma yogam is executed and purified, one is purified, he gets qualified to acquire spiritual knowledge and devotion. Bhakti and jnanam will come to that person. So, karma yogam's role is like that. And therefore, all shastras, including Bhagavad Gita, says one should execute karma yogam for some time in life. It's necessary. And that is why to Arjuna also Krishna spoke about karma yogam. But to Uddhava, Krishna never spoke about karma yogam. Why? Because at the age of 125, there is no point in discussing karma yogam at that time. Karma yogam is irrelevant to Uddhava. So karma yogam was not discussed with Uddhava. Krishna discussed based on the qualifications of the person. So, this karma yogam, which is called as Agnihotram also, Agnihotram, that is what is called as Panchagni Vidya. This Panchagni Vidya, what we discussed before in the 8th chapter, 16 verse, verse 16, that Panchagni Vidya is nothing but this karma yogam executed, and it's also called as Agnihotram. Agnihotram means there is a fire at home in which the oblations are offered, and in all the ancient Brahmana families, they had this system. They'll perform Agnihotram. Agnihotram is a part of this, their life. And that is very traditionally done. But Agni will never die out. The fire will never die out. It always survives. And that's, they have to keep it going all the time. Now, everywhere, as you know, the fire brings us into, just like the fire cooks the food. And similarly, the fire is the thing that brings a soul also into, it conditions it and makes it to a certain degree, it brings into a matured state. That is why this is called Panchagni. Panchagni means these five things. Male body, female body, Bhulokam, Bhurlokam, Swarlokam. These five things are called Panchagni. In Panchagni, in these five fires, it's called five fires, the soul is getting cooked all the time. Isn't it? The soul is getting cooked in these five things. In any species, if you take, you are in this condition. You are not free from that, isn't it? You are either male or female. And what is interesting here is, in the male body, it's looking for the female body. And the female body, it's looking for the male body. So this is also a part of this material existence, this tree. Krishna has created this tree in such a way that you don't have to go out of the tree to enjoy anything. Within the tree, you can keep enjoying all the time. So therefore, these two bodies, male body and female body, Krishna has created, and he has given three places where you can jump from one tree to one branch to another. Like that. So this tree, the samsara tree or material existence tree, which has its branch downwards, has got only these five things. These three things, these three the worlds, which are, you can consider as three branches, and another two branches, male body and female body. What else exists there? In order that the whole thing should run very well, Krishna has given another three things more. What are they? They are the three modes of material nature. So when you mix all these things together and stir it up nicely, that is our life is all about. This life in this world is nothing but this. This three modes of material nature, male and female body, bhulokam, bhurlokam, surlokam, in this it gets day after day rotated and crushed. It goes up, comes down, goes up, comes down, sometimes in the middle, sometimes in the cat's body, sometimes in the dog's body, sometimes in the human body, sometimes in demigod's body, sometimes in devil's body. Whichever body is there, we accept it, but no freedom to come out of it. This is our situation. This is why it's called Panchagni, the fire. Panchagni Vidya, it is called. How to come out of it. That's what it is. The Agnihotram sacrifices that. Then, now, the difference between... Now, there is something interesting here. We talked about this before also, when we discussed the 8th chapter. There is two things called Samashti and Vyashti. Samashti means in the gross existence, and Vyashti means in our individual existence. What is in the Samashti, that is in the Vyashti as well. For example, everything what you find in the creation exists in us. 5 material elements exist in us, isn't it? 5 material elements which is used for creating this whole thing, that is what exists in us also. So you cannot say, or you can see, that everything that is in the Samashti exists in the Vyashti also. Exists in the Vyashti also. How does that exist? That is what is another important point to remember. How does Samashti and Vyashti it exist? Now, Krishna says here that intelligence is the Vyashti of the heavenly planets. Vyashti Swarupam, it's called. Vyashti Swarupam of the heavenly planets is intelligence. Similarly, the middle one, Bhulokam, its Vyashti form is the mind. Its Vyashti form is the mind. The buddhi or the intelligence is the Vyashti form of the heavenly planets. The mind is the Vyashti form of the Parjanya Logam or Bhura Logam, which is in the middle. And the gross body is the Vyashti form of the earthly planet. You see? Bhulokam, Bhurlokam, Swarlokam. So material body, the mind and the intelligence. These are the Vyashti form of these three gross forms or Samashti forms. Is that okay? Then the Vyashti form means the what exists in us of the whole thing. The whole thing is like this, the earthly planet, the middle planet, Bhurlokam and Swarlokam. It exists in us in the form of intelligence, mind and the gross body. Vyashti and Samashti. Okay. Now, the addition to that is something else. The this Swarlokam or the heavenly planets, there Brahman reflects there in the form of sun. Sun reflects there. The sun is the representation there of the that exists of the existence of the Swarlokam. Its existence is come from the sun. And in the intelligence, the same thing is reflecting in the form of jiva, living entity. It exists as living entity as reflection of the intelligence. It reflects there. So, the upahita chaitanyam, it is referred to in there. And similarly, moon is the one that represents the parjanya lokam. In the samashti form, it exists in the parjanya lokam as moon. So, moon reflects in the Parjanya Lokam and in the mind which exists as the false ego and and false ego or pride that exists as the reflective part of the human body. So, in the Vedanta philosophy, these things are discussed in much more in detail. But for our present understanding, if you just understand these relationships to some degree, you will know that none of them is independent. They are all connected to each other. Mind, intelligence and senses, they are all connected with the gross body, the Bhulokam and the Swarlokam. They are connected with that. Similarly, the sun, moon and the earth, they are connected with it. So there is a connection exists between all of these, the sun, moon and the earthly planet. Similarly, the Bhulokam, Bhurlokam, Surlokam, and also as well as our mind and intelligence, there is a relationship between all of these things. That's what Krishna is saying here. That when the living entity, in its gross form, it travels in the sthula shariram, in the gross body, isn't it? The soul travels in the gross body. The living entity travels in the gross body, in the vacant state. In the dream state, it travels in the subtle body, with its mind. With its mind, it travels in the subtle body. And in the deep sleep, it leaves both, gross body as well as the subtle body, and it goes into ignorant state. In the deep ignorance, it permeates there. So similarly, after the time of death also, it goes into its samashti form. That means, it leaves these identities in the particular way. These temporary things like the mind, intelligence, and the senses. It leaves that. And the soul has to go into the samashti form. Samashti form means all that exists in the form of dvilokam, parjanyalokam, or swarlokam, and to the other earthly planet, the bhulokam. In one of them, it has to go. So it moves into samashti and veshti all the time. It moves. Every time when it leaves one particular body, it has to go into samashti. And then when samashti, it comes back against into veshti when it accepts another body. You see? So, samashti and veshti, it keeps changing its role from one to another. And at the same time, all the ingredients, what are in the samashti, that exists in the veshti also. So, this material tree, this samsara vraksham, Krishna has explained here, is nothing but making our life in this veshti form through our activities. Now, there is a lot more elaborate explanations to this in the Vedantam. They talk about it much more in depth. How this happens. Shraddha, Buddhi, and Amrutam, Retas, Stri, Purushan. There are so many classifications there. And what actually ignites one particular fire? Why it is all compared to fire is that depending on how you fuel it, this material existence will increase. You see? Depending on how you fuel it. For example, as I mentioned before, these five things, male, female, and these three logam, three planets, what we call bhulogam, bhurlogam, surlogam. In these, our existence depends on how we fuel the fire here. The fire of what? One is called Shraddha. If your intelligence is fueled in such a way that the whole intelligence is used to increase your material existence, then you are increasing actually your samsara vrsham, material existence, by increasing your intelligence for utilizing for material advancement particularly. If the same intelligence is used, or in other words, that fuel called Shraddha, what you are pouring into the intelligence, used for spiritual realizations, that it will become vidya or knowledge. When the Shraddha is used for igniting the fuel of intelligence in such a way to increase the material existence, avidya increases or ignorance increases. When the same time, if the fuel is then used for igniting the fire of material existence, and in that case, ignorance increases. And these two things, vidya and avidya, or knowledge and ignorance, is what determines whether you get stuck here or you get released. You see? Whether you get stuck here or you get released depends on how you cultivate these two things, vidya and avidya. So that's why you will notice always, ajnanatimirandasya jnananjana shalagaya. So, how to free oneself from this, the entanglement, is this process of Panchagni Vidya. So one has to understand what is the fuel used for different things. in as a male form, what is that attraction? Attraction for the female. So if that attraction increases, the result of that will be that material existence will increase. Vice versa also. So that is why Vedic literature puts very strong fence between the male-female relationship for this reason. Whereas no other philosophy in the world puts such tight controls on the relationship between man and woman, isn't it? Why is it like that? Because if you allow that to freely happen between the man and the woman, what will happen is both are equally responsible for that and both are equally going to experience the result of that. Material existence will increase for this reason. Why? Because our Shraddha or the Retas, it is called in Shastra, it is called Retas. The Retas, if you pour into this fire of Panchagni Vidya, in these five fires, you are pouring some of the fuel into it. So this fire, this thing what you are feeding into it is called Retas. So Retas is poured more, this bondage between man and woman will increase. Once that bondage increases, then you are stuck here again. You cannot go away from here. You have to come back. Sometimes people say, oh, such a nice couple, they love so much each other. Isn't it? They say like that. And the people who are making these comments, they are totally unaware of that. The so-called loving is the whole problem. That's where the whole problem has started from originally. Because of this so-called loving business. So when we understand from the Vedic point of view what it is telling us, Krishna absolutely condemns this to such a degree in the Bhagavadam that what does he say? Srinam Sri Sanginam Tetva, Srinam Sri Sanginam Sangam Tetva Durada Almavan. One who wants to advance in spiritual life, Krishna says, one should avoid the association of the opposite sex. It's not that it's only for the men, it's also for the women. Equally applicable. Both sides. But because the Uddhava was listening, probably Krishna has spoken like this. Srinam Sri Sanginam Sangam. Not only with women, Krishna says. Or not only with men, but those who are talking about them, because they are majority in this world, isn't it? All this, if you go to W. Smith and all that, two or three rows is only this topic discussed, isn't it? All the magazines refers to this particular topic only, isn't it? And people are coming happily buying it and taking it home, reading it, find great comfort in that. So, unfortunately, Krishna's words are little different. Krishna is saying there, Srinam Sri Sanginam Sangam. Once you have developed that attachment, tetva durada almavan, it has to be thrown so far away from a person if he wants to progress on the spiritual path. So whatever Krishna has spoken in the Bhagavatam, it's the same thing here also. It's not different. This Panchagni is nothing but this five fire. The five fires are burning all the time. And if you keep pouring into it all the time, fuel into all the fires, all the five fires, there is no chance of leaving this place. You can comfortably sit in front of the fire and enjoy it for the rest of the whole life. So, that is why is all this spoken? So that at least little bit vairagyam come to the mind that this is not the place to be or this is not the place to look for happiness. In order to bring that understanding to us, Krishna has explained this a little bit more in the Bhagavatam. But here, kept in one verse, the whole thing was spoken in one verse. Urdhvamulam adho shakha ashwattham prahuravyayam chandam siyasya varnani yastvam vedasa vedavil. Krishna says, chandamsi. Chandamsi means, as I mentioned, the karmagandam of the Vedas. So you can use karmagandam also to stay here, no problem. And with karmagandam you can enjoy. Krishna's world is not only earthly planet, even go to the heavenly planets and enjoy there and come back here. But it is all a part of this package, of this samsara vriksham, or the tree of material existence. So, it is such a huge topic. If you start discussing this, it can go for hours, because so many things, what Krishna refers to this in the Bhagavatam also. So, at least at this point in time, if we know these little things, what is spoken here, that you should not allow the fire to burn highly. You shouldn't burn too much. If you start pouring more and more into it, then the fire will burn. Once the fire burns, no possibility of escaping from that. You will sit there, get caught up in that fire. So everything, material dealings, all material activities, material life is nothing but this five fires burning. Male body, female body, bhulogam, borlogam, surlogam, panchagni vidya. Now, what else is happening? Then, in detail to talk about it. The whole thing is expressed in much more at length. Ahangaram, where false ego. False ego is another fire. Where does it come from? Abhimanam, the pride, what is coming from? I am the doer and I am the enjoyer. This is all a part of this whole package. That is why it's so strongly present in us. So in order to cut that, branch, these are all the different branches of this samsara vriksham, material existence. In order to cut that branches, Krishna gives us various instructions one after the other. So more and more we understand, first of all, before we want to escape from this tree, one has to know where we are, isn't it? Otherwise, how do we cut? Which branch will you cut? Which branch can you cut? You don't know where you are sitting in the tree. So at least we know we are in one of the branches somewhere. But in order to cut that branch, what we have to know, each branch has its own identity. Each branch, what it feeds to us. One branch is feeding false ego. Another branch is feeding attraction for the female. Another branch is feeding some other sense enjoyment. So different branches of these three exist. So if you know which branch is causing where we are sitting, at least you can cut that branch and fall from there, and not to care for that branch anymore. Only good thing about this branch is, if you cut the sitting on this branch, you can cut the branch. And if you can cut the branch and fall, you have escaped actually. Whereas in all the normal trees, if you sit and cut the branch, the fall will be very high, isn't it? But here, the beauty of this branch is, you have to cut every single branch before you can go up to the top. So that is how, in a way, Krishna is present in here in this particular tree, Ashwatha tree, only for us to understand how the jiva, living entity, is caught up in this. More and more, when you read Krishna's instructions in the Bhagavadam, as well as also in the Bhagavad Gita, you will see everything makes sense. But due to our own stupidity, so to say, or to our own ignorance, we won't accept it. We'll keep questioning everything. Endless questioning it is. But it's not going to come to an end at all. Because unless we understand what Krishna says, Krishna, who has been, who spent such considerable time in this world, and who is criticized for associating with the gopis, that Krishna is telling us, Srinam Sri Sanginam Sangam Tektva Durada Alpavan. So only Krishna can say that. That is the difference between Krishna and us. That we will not say that, because if we get an opportunity like Krishna to be, then what will be our attitude? It will be totally different, isn't it? But Krishna says, in the Ekadasha Skandam, when Krishna talks about, is full of gravity. All that childhood pastimes, everything is finished there. Cowherd boys and the cowherd girls and the living with the gopis and association with the Rukminis and the 16,108, everything is over. And Krishna talks with greatest renunciation at that point. And that's what you find in the Bhagavadam, that the instructions in Uddhava, Krishna will mention this a lot more in depth. And that's where you will see that vairagyam in Krishna at that time. That's why Krishna is called Bhagavan. Aishwaryasya Samagrasya Virasya Shashashreya Jnana Vairagyam. That sixth thing, Vairagyam in Krishna, is the highest at that point when he talks to Uddhava. So the mind. Mind is one of the most important function in this whole thing. The mind receives, more you feed into the mind allows it to grow further and further. And therefore, in other words, immediately after this, Krishna talks about the mind at much length. Then, only one who has understood the karmakandam well, in the Vedas, only he can understand the samsara vriksham also properly. That's why it's no point in talking about it a lot. First, we have to understand the karmakandam well. If you understand karmakandam well, for them, this tree of material existence, you can understand better. Why it is like that is, that karmakandam will tell you which yagam or sacrifice you have to perform for whatever sense happiness you want and where you have to be for that. You see? In other words, karmakandam more or less tells you where you have to book your accommodation for your next sense enjoyment. Which hotel you have to book in the Surglogam, heavenly planets. You see, to such an extent it is open about it. And this karmakandam, now of course, in these days it is difficult to perform this karmakandam section of the Vedas because of the lack of people who have the knowledge. And also, the ingredients were necessary for performing Karmakandam, and the people who are capable of doing it are also very, very, very few. Very, very few. So therefore, Karmakandam is not executed anymore. It's not executed anymore by anyone. Nobody does that. but if you understand Karmakandam, you can understand this tree of material existence better. And because Karmakandam is not our topic to discuss, and plus Srila Prabhupada has not discussed about Karmakandam to such a degree in these verses, we'll also leave it there. Just to understand that, this tree, what Krishna has spoken about, with its root upwards, branches downwards, is nothing but the tree of material existence. If we allow the tree to grow within ourselves, in other words, our activities, our mind, our everything, we are stuck with the tree. We won't be able to. So in the next verse, what Krishna says is that what actually happens with the with this tree and how the tree is able to stand upside down like this. That's what Krishna says in the next verse. Because normally the tree stands with the roots down and root holds it, isn't it? But this tree, because its root is upwards, Krishna is explaining to us how the tree survives without falling off. It's able to stay. Adaschordham prasridastasya shakha gunapravirdha vishayapravalaha adaschamulanya anusandhadani karmanubandhini manushyalogem adaschordham prasridastasya shakha. The interesting thing about this tree is it branches is not only downwards, some of the branches are going upwards also. You see? That's what he says. Adaschurdhvam prasradas tasya shakah. Tasya shakha, some of the branches, athas downwards and urdhvam, it goes both. What does it mean? It means that you may perform some activities here and you may go up, but you are still on the branch, you are not escaped from the tree. And those branches are the one which goes to the heavenly planets. You see? So in this particular tree, not all the branches are downwards, some branches are upwards also. It is a very beautiful comparison, this tree with banyan tree, Ashwatha tree. I don't know whether you all have seen this banyan trees. In India particularly you see many, many places, many temples will have many huge banyan trees. These banyan trees have one characteristic, if you closely observe them, that their roots spreads very far, a long distance. Sometimes you can see the root of which is here, you will see somewhere in the Lakshmohith village, or a mile away even huge trees, their roots can come up, because they go so wide, so deep as well as so wide. And the other interesting thing is, the tree's roots are not straight. It goes down and then comes up and then goes down again. In some places. And some places it's all zigzagged. In different ways it goes. You'll see a picture of that in the Bhagavad Gita. Devotees have drawn that of this Ashwatha tree in one of the pictures. There you can see that, how an Ashwatha tree stands. Its branches are like that, its roots are also like that. The branches goes so high and in different directions, and some of them drops down also, some of the branches. So it's a strange tree in that sense. It's not that one stem goes all the way to the top and then the leaves at the top like that. It spreads everywhere. It spreads so much that this comparison what Krishna has given here, Ashwatha tree to the material existence, is a fantastic comparison, because in our material existence also it is like that. Sometimes like the root, we get entangled in everything, isn't it, in this world. Somebody gets entangled with the family life, with the office life, with the social life, with this life, that life, every life. Some people are so entangled, they have no time for anything else, to think about the tree at all. So they are so entangled. So Ashwatha trees, like the roots, they are, goes, or the branches, they are entangled like that. So this entanglement, what we have created without any knowledge, not knowing that the technique is to escape from this entanglement rather than increasing the entanglement. The Ashwatha tree is given as a comparison that this is how you are in this world. Like your material existence is like the Ashwatha tree. That's why Krishna is saying here, Adaschordvam prasradastasya shakaha. Its branches are coming upwards and as well as going downwards. Then, what actually nourishes these branches? Gunapravrdha, Vishayapravalaha. Gunapravrdha, the three modes of material nature. That is the manure or fertilizer given to this. As much as you want, you take it. Gunapravrdhaha, Vishayapravalaha. Vishayapravala means sense objects. Though we have got the three modes of material nature, and then we have got the mind intelligence, everything, to use the modes of material nature, to mix with it. Mix the modes of nature with our mind and intelligence, and then added to that extra ingredient also, sense objects. All these things together mixed up, Krishna says, karmanubandhini manushya loge. He is stuck here with his karmam by executing this, he says. You can see that in the words. Adhascha mulan anusandhadani. The roots are such, mulam is such, adhascha mulan anusandhadani. Roots are completely kind of a complicated way. It is caught up. It completely caught up like a net, growing this way, that way, and pulled in this direction, that direction. Nobody can know which root comes from where, which way it's going. This is the beauty of this tree. Like if you go and see a banyan tree, and you have an opportunity to see a good, huge banyan tree, you should look at it. Branches going in strange directions, in all directions. Interesting more than that is the roots. The roots, you may not see some anywhere near. But if you ask somebody, they'll tell you, yes, yes, the roots of this tree is there. About another 50 meters or 100 meters away. The roots of this tree is there. So like that, adascha mulani anusandhadani, the root is such that it is distributed everywhere. And therefore, karma anubandhini manushya loge. Karma anubandhini. Karmam is the cause of all these things. And that will bind us to the manushya loga. Manushya loga means this human world. We get stuck with this, Krishna says that. That. So, some branches have gone upwards, and by executing the different sacrifices in this world, you go to the heavenly planets and live like a demigod there. That's why those branches which has gone to the higher planets. But all the results, fruits are grown on the branches, isn't it? That if there is, if the living entity has to go and experience the happiness of the heavenly planets, then it means that some of the branches has to go up as well. Some of the branches has to go up as well. Then another important thing what Krishna wants to say here is that if all the Vedic karmam, all the karmakandam is meant for only for experiencing happiness in the heavenly planets, then Krishna is saying here that it is not strictly so. It is not strictly so. Why? Because if you see here that this performing Vedic sacrifices is not simply to go and experience happiness in the heavenly planets. Actually, it is meant for liberation. Karma Yogam through Karmakandam is meant for liberation. Only due to misunderstanding, it happens like this, in this way. It happens in this way. A beautiful example is given like this. That when some bitter medicine, if a child has to take, the mother will say to the child, I'll give you a sweet if you take this medicine. Isn't it? The mother tempts the child. So what happens is, the child is thinking, I'll get the sweet, let me drink the medicine somehow, and he takes it. She cheats him like this. She knows his weakness, isn't it? She knows his weakness. He's fond of the sweet. He wants the sweet. But she won't give the sweet. She'll tell him, you take the medicine, then I'll give you the sweet. Isn't it? Especially those who are taking Ayurvedic medicines. The other medicines don't need that, because that itself is a sweet. When it goes in, it's sweet. But when it goes inside, after that, it is distress afterwards. So the Ayurvedic medicines are not like that. Most of them are very bitter and difficult to take. So the children will be very hesitant to take it. So first the mother tempts like this. So this karmagandam is like that sweet there. So by showing the karmagandam, he thinks that, oh, I can go to the heavenly planets and enjoy there. Once that idea, like a child if he starts thinking, then he is stuck there. then his karmakandam becomes, the purpose becomes going to heavenly planets. But actually, purpose of karmakandam is not to get entangled. He has to get released from here. That's the purpose of karmakandam. So in order to do that, the karmakandam has to be executed with detachment. Vedai sarvani karmani aphala bharadaya varnidani iti buddhva tani tvai arpidani. In the Bhagavatam it will mentions like this. Vedai sarvani karmani, all the karmakandam in the Vedic literature, aphala bharadaya varnidani, it is to be executed without expectation of any results. Without expectation of any results. Because some of these Vedic sacrifices, which last for months and years, some of them, for we have seen before one of them. What was that? Rajasuyam, Krishna's famous Rajasuyam. How long did it last? 17 months and 17 days it lasted. Isn't it? Similarly, Ashwamedham and Adhiratram, Agnishtomam, Vajabayam. There is an endless list. And the preparations for all these great sacrifices takes a very, very long time. And also people required, and it's a very elaborate process. At one time, the kings had no other business except doing these sacrifices. This is all what they have done. And particularly the land called Aryavartham, between the rivers Ganga and Yamuna, what is called as the Aryavartham. This land is specifically meant for executing yagam, sacrifices. So at one time when you go there, the kings used to be so proud that they have executed so many sacrifices. And each time a sacrifice is performed, they have to put a post to which the animal is tied. Yutham, it is called. So, there will be so many posts, and looking and counting the number of posts, you could say how many yagas a particular king has performed. You will see the story in the Bhagavatam also, Prajina Barhi story. He was so fond of performing these sacrifices, isn't it? So these sacrifices, which are performed by the kings, only kings could perform them because of their complexity and because of their difficulty in performing them. That kings maintained knowledgeable people who have studied the Vedas so well, karmakandam. And they, not only the men, the women also, they are a part of that whole thing. The husband and the wife is a part of that. And they have to be always ready for the sacrifices. In other words, they were well looked after by the kings, those who are performing them. And they were given great qualifications also. Because of their excellent knowledge of the karmakandam. So, this karmakandam, what Krishna is talking about here, we must not misunderstand that it is only for going to heavenly planets. In order to get rid of from our mind that karmakandam is a bona fide process to go back home, back to spiritual world. But abused by the people, it falls down and they go into heavenly planets. They get there in that way. So that is what Krishna is saying here. That the three modes of material nature which we have spoken about, sattvam, rajas and tamas, these are the sprouts in the branches. And the branches sprout. They are called as the sprouts which comes from the branches, sattvam, rajas and tamas. So, among the living entities who are present in this world, some of them are going up. Those who have understood this tree and who have started working to get out of this tree, they go up. Those who have not understood the tree and those who are caught up in the tree, they make the tree bigger for them. You see? So the size of the tree is also not limited. It can grow big or it can get smaller. So it is in our hands how to make the tree bigger or to make the tree smaller. That is completely up to us. If you understand what Krishna is saying here, an intelligent person, Krishna says, should take note of this tree and try to escape from that tree rather than nourishing the tree to make it grow. Those who are not taken to spiritual life or not to Krishna consciousness, in other words, it's possible the tree will grow further and further, which means more births, accepting more bodies again and enjoying the fruits of one's own actions. the very fruits what we have created by our own actions. So, karmanu bandhini manushya loke. Krishna says, karma is that factor which is holding all these three together. Isn't it? Karma is the factor which keeps all these things together. That is the power of karma. Karmanu bandhini. Bandhana means bondage. Karma holds us to this tree strongly through all these different things what is mentioned, like the male, female, and urdhalogam, the bhulogam, purlogam, swarlogam, mind intelligence, and the false ego, and also the other material elements. Everything is a part of this tree. But what is that one thing which controls everything and holds it together? That's karma. That is karma. So, importance of karma comes here. Karmanu bandhini manushya loke. Krishna is explaining to us that this factor called karma is such an important thing. If karma is not purified, then the chances of escaping from this tree is very, very little. Very, very little. That is why whether you go to Jnana Margam or to Bhakti Margam, if the karma is not pure, it is not going to be an easy ride in either way. It's not going to be an easy ride. You can say, I am a devotee. Nothing will affect me. I'm pure. You may say anything you like, but the much powerful element is there outside holding us. And Shastram can never be wrong. After all, when the bhakti process also, when we take to bhakti process, the bhakti becomes bhakti only if one has understood these things properly. The power of karma, what is holding us in this world. Often we won't stress this point very much because people say, then they give up everything. They'll go away. They'll say, oh, it's too much, too complicated. Too entangling it is. But unfortunately, the fact is there. Krishna is saying here that karma has to be pure. And Krishna is so kind that knowing very well that we cannot execute this karmagandam and purify ourselves, Krishna brought this karma yogam in Bhagavad Gita, which is slightly different than the karmagandam in the Vedas. Karmagandam in the Vedas is the original karma yogam. But karma yogam in the Bhagavad Gita is little different. What does Krishna say? Karma yogam in Bhagavad Gita is simple. A lot simple than the karmagandam. Here Krishna is saying that karmanyevadhikaraste mabhaleshu kadachana makarmabhalahe durbur madho sangostakarmani. If you follow these four sutrams of karmagandam, of karma yogam in the Bhagavad Gita, you can become a karma yogi. Isn't it? We discussed this when we talked about karma yogam. Karmani vadhigaraste ma bhaleshu kadachana. First of all, our understanding has to be that we have to execute karma in this world. Nobody can stay out of karma. But no one has any right to ask for the results. No, shouldn't expect any results from karma. Now people, we talked about this, just think that, oh, does it mean that I have to go and work in the office and not ask for the salary? Is that what it means? This is how they will interpret that, isn't it? Karmane vadhigarasi mahabhaleshu kadajana means, does that what it means? That I should only work and I won't get a salary? No, that's not what it meant. What it means is this, that working and getting results in this world, that is a vyavaharam or a transaction in this world. It will go on. The consciousness of a person who executes karmam and the way he relates with karmam, that is more important. If it comes to the point that the results has to be according to his desire or according to his calculation, if the results don't come, then he gets upset about it, isn't it? That's how everybody is in this world. If you work in an office or you work anywhere else and you are working, you want the results to come. And the results also according to your expectations. You have probably signed an agreement with the employer or anyone and he promises that I'll pay you so much. If he takes something out of it and says to you, no, this is all what you get, then you're not happy about that. So similarly, karmani vadhigarase ma bhaleshu kadachana. Note that you have to make a compromise there. You have to ask for what you are expected to get. You have to get from him. But what is important here, ma karma bhalahe durbhur madho sangostu akarmani, that you are not, the results will not depend on your effort alone. That is the most important point to take note of. That karma can be executed, but the results need not depend on your work. That is another factor. Somebody else makes that decision. Krishna says, that is in my hands. Krishna makes that decision what you should get, whether you should get the result or you shouldn't get the result. That is in Krishna's hands. And Madho Sango Swakarmani, you also do not have the right not performing any work. That's also not possible. Because by nature, we have to work in this world. It's not possible to stay out of work. So all these things are a part of karma, karma yoga. So this karma yoga has been made easier for us by Krishna's instructions in Bhagavad Gita rather than in the Karmakandam. Karmakandam is not practical, and therefore Krishna has spoken karma yoga in Kali Yuga in order to make that life lot easier for us. So some people go upwards to because of they are cutting the tree all the time. Some people are nourishing the tree and they go downwards all the time. The same tree for me is different for you or for somebody else. Your tree may be going lesser. It may be going less because you are not feeding the tree. My tree may be growing better because I am feeding the tree well. So I can stay on the tree as long as I want. So everyone has this tree with him. This tree is with everybody. And the tree is either growing or it's dying. Whichever way it is. And intelligent person, he tries to kill the tree. Not allow the tree to grow further. Not allow the tree to grow further. That's what Krishna is saying here. So, karmam is spoken here. Why karmam is spoken? Because it is this karmam that is binding us through, taking us from one body to another. Happiness, distress, everything is coming as a result of this thing called karmam. So, if karmam, how can karmam stop then? That's the question, isn't it? Karmam will only stop... And karmam is also by nature ignorance. Karmam by nature is ignorance. Karmam is never in knowledge. Karmam is always ignorant. Every karmam is performed in ignorance, isn't it? Because karmam, as I mentioned before, karmam creates what is called as vasana. Karma vasana it will create. Karmam we perform, we get the results. Karma bhalam comes from that. In addition to karma bhalam, it creates what is called vasana. Vasana creates another karma. And that karma creates another bhalam, results. And another vasana as well. So like this is endless cycle what Krishna has created, what she spoke about. Evam pravartidam chakram nanuvartayadi haya. Nobody can come out of this huge giant wheel, Krishna says. It is impossible to come out of it. So that way of coming out of it is only through knowledge. Isn't it? Jnanam is necessary. This is why Krishna is asking us to study this chapter seriously, how to come out of this karmic cycle, of the cycle of karma. So Krishna says here that as long as every karma is ignorance, not only that, any karma will only bind us and it will only cause distress. Every karma brings us distress only at the end. Karma you can divide into different ways. Sometimes we think, oh, some karma I have executed, I was happy about that. But generally if you look at any karma, ultimately it is distress from that, what comes. And even if you get some happiness out of it, there will be a large percentage of unhappiness waiting there, separately to follow that. And you will also feel that the result of wasting the time involved in that. So, the only way to come out of this is through knowledge, Krishna says. That in order to do that, one has to become thoughtful. To become develop knowledge, one has to become thoughtful. In order that one has to become thoughtful, that he has to execute the karma without attachment for the results. It is such an important thing in spiritual life that somehow or the other at some stage, one has to develop that nature of offering results to Krishna. Otherwise, it will simply entangle him further and further. There is no possibility. You can start whole lifetime, you can execute your bhakti yoga, but there will be not much of an impact on the person's spiritual life. He will still stay where he is. He won't go move further from there. That's why Krishna consciousness is saying that this process is important. Nishkama karma is talked about there. So, so Krishna says here, some roots are going up, some roots are going down as well. Adascha moolanyanu sandhadani karma anubandhini manushyaloge. Krishna says some of the roots are going up and some of them are going down. Karma anubandhini manushyaloge. Krishna says that So this will not, it is not possible to escape from that unless one has developed what Krishna explains in the next verse. Next verse. So, just like we see that the experience of happiness in the heavenly planets, experience of happiness in the heavenly planets is the result of your sacrifices, what you have performed in this world. Isn't it? What you have performed from this world. Similarly, because of that, because it is like that, you can say that the root of our life in the heavenly planets was here. The karma we have performed here. You see, what we were talking before, that the roots are going up and down. That's why it is said like this. Our survival in the heavenly planets or our life in the heavenly planet is only possible because we have performed karmakandam, karma here, karmakandam, sacrifices you have performed here. So the root of our life in the heavenly planets was here. So sometimes the root is here, sometimes the root is there. So this particular tree has got this one particular nature. Some roots are there, some roots are here. When the karmakandam, results of karmakandam is finished, we come here. And we become active here in this world. And we busy with the feeding the roots here. Sometimes if you do some activities like the karmakandam, then we can go up and go into the other branches up. So the branches are also there. Sometimes the branches are here. But majority of the branches are here. And majority of the roots are there. You see? Majority of the roots are there. Majority of the branches are there. So that is why it said it is upside down, the tree. But Krishna says some roots go downwards and some branches go upwards also. So you have to imagine a tree like this. When you analyze this verses, you have to imagine a tree and how it is connected with our life. That is what Krishna is explaining here. Our material existence, in other words. Material existence, in other words. So, after hearing all these verses, please do not think that I can't see the tree, I can't do anything about it, I give it up. That's not what is expected from this. That's not the purpose of explaining all these things. Why in such a detail Krishna has explained this? It's only 20 verses, but the it is at the very end of Bhagavad Gita. You have to remember that also. At the end of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is talking about these things. Why is that? Because Krishna has now come to the point. He has talked about karmam, he has talked about bhakti, already finished. Now he is talking about jnanam. Jnana Yogam, he is discussing in these 6 chapters. And in the first chapter, Krishna talked about what? Talked about the Prakriti and Purusha. Isn't it? Prakriti and Purusha, he has spoken. And there we have seen that our connection with Krishna, we have understood in that chapter that we have a very strong connection with Krishna. That is what Krishna established in that chapter. If you read through that, you will see there that how Krishna talked about that in the 13th chapter. And then from then on, Krishna is telling in each chapter what is the problem in realizing it. Isn't it? I mentioned this before. What is actually stopping us from realizing that relationship? You see, normally in this world, when we have transactions with other people in this world, we blame each other, isn't it? Oh, he has said this to me about me, he said that to me, and he has done this to me, that to me. But if you study Bhagavad Gita, you will know what does Krishna says about us? That's more important than what he says or he says or somebody else says about me. That's not important. What Krishna is saying to us, you are mamaivamsho jivaloke, you are part of me, Krishna says. Jiva Bhuta Sanatana, and you are eternal. That what has happened, the moment you jumped into this tree, Mana Shashtan Indriyani Prakritistani Karshati, you got caught there. You got caught in the tree the moment you have trapped by this attraction for the life in this material world. So that is what Krishna is talking about, this tree's importance. Just Krishna is drawing a sketch of a whole scenario where you can see where you fit in this big thing called the creation, in this creation. We are such a tiny element in this creation and at the same time unable to escape from this creation. We are a part of that. But having come here, the best thing to know is what we are here. And this is where Krishna expects us to understand our true identity. And once we know our true identity, then we will not unnecessarily think about other things in this world, which has no significance as far as my realization is concerned. Most of the things in this world, what we do, with which what we are busy, has nothing to do with our spiritual life, is it? Only to help the tree to grow better. Is it not? So that is what has to come to a stop. That growing tree business has to come to a stop. And rather look inwards. So to turn our mind inwards, Krishna is saying all these things. People, especially in the age of Kali, will be so outward looking, external looking, and they'll find great pleasure in all the material objects and material elements. And they'll extract extreme happiness in exchanging these material elements and inventing these new things. Krishna probably knew all these things. That is why he is saying that this tree business and nourishing the tree business has to come to a stop in order to progress on the spiritual path. One has to become reflective. One has to become inwards. All these are qualities associated with Sattvagunam. Sattvagunam means all these qualities. Rajogunam means watering the tree. That's Rajogunam. And Tamogunam means no tree even. Tree also doesn't exist for Tamoguni. Tamoguni just sleeps. The tree grows or tree dies, it doesn't matter. Mostly the tree grows for the Tamogunam to such an extent. So Krishna is telling us the very finer aspects of our existence. In other words, to get out of this bodily concept and to see the reality behind us, what Krishna has spoken here is that. That is why in such a graphic way the tree is presented to us. So more and more, if one starts analyzing this tree in every activity and in every field of life, one will realize that Krishna has a very valid point here. That it is this tree that has caused my birth. It is due to this tree that I am suffering in this world. And it is to this very same tree that I have to leave this body also. So virtually, or strictly speaking, it is nothing but this tree that we are sitting on from birth to death. Nowhere else. Right on this tree. And nourishing the tree whole life. And that has to come to a stop. That is what Krishna is. So in order to develop that detachment in this life, detachment from this world, Krishna has spoken about Vairagyam. And it is that factor Vairagyam that is being given importance in this chapter. So here, Karmanubandhini Manushyaloge. Now in this next verse, Krishna is saying here, Narupamasyeha Tatobalabhyade Nando Nacha Der Nacha Sampradishtaha Ashwathamenam Suviryudhamula Asanga Shastrena Dridena Chitvaha. This is another interesting verse. Krishna says here, this tree has no form. That's why it says, Narupamasyeha Tatobalabhyade. If you can see the tree, only then you can cut the tree, isn't it? But the tree has no form. The tree has no form either. Narupamasyeha Tatobalabhyade Nando Nachadir Naja Sampradishtaha. And if you ask, when did the tree starts growing, you don't know. No idea when the tree has started growing. Nor you know when the tree has going to end either. Nando na adir naja sampradishtaha. Neither the tree we don't know the tree has what kind of existence it has got. Sampradishta. Doesn't have a proper existence either. So you can imagine how difficult to cut this tree is. Isn't it? How difficult it is because you can't even see the tree. Narupam. It has no tree. Narupam asyeha tatobalabhyade. It has no form. The tree has no form. It has no beginning. It has no end. It has no beginning. It has no end. And it doesn't have a permanent existence either. Sometimes, you know, when you watch some of these, these computer games, sometimes, sort of so many funny games they have developed, isn't it? So you see the children playing them, and you look at them, all excited because, excitement from what? Because a lot of them are hidden, and they are unable to locate it. And when they locate it, they get excited about it. They want it. So the similar happiness gets to us also when we cut this tree completely. It is like that, a similar kind of excitement comes. Unfortunately, it is more complicated than these computer games, this tree. This tree has been existing for so long and this tree has never died. it exists. But at the same time, you can't see it. Narupamasyena tadopalabhyate. And nando nachadir naja sampradishtaham. But one interesting thing about that, ashwathamenam suvirudhamulam, its roots are very strongly stuck there. The tree is so strong, it is, you will not be able to cut it. It is holding strongly, so strong, such a strength it has got. Suvirudhamulam. Then Krishna says, asangashastrena dhena chitvaha. Cut that tree with the root, Krishna says, with the sword of vairagyam. Sword of vairagyam. Asanga shastrena. Asangam, detachment. That is the only sword what can help you to cut that tree. As long as we are attached, Krishna says, material life will continue and spiritual life is impossible. So therefore, in order to stress vairagyam, in order to stress detachment and renunciation, Krishna has taken these last three verses. And particularly in these three verses, Krishna is saying here that if anybody thinks that he can find out the form of the tree, he can forget it. Then he is telling that this whole world, creation itself, is nothing but Jagadguru. Jagadguru means, normally we have an impression that Jagadguru means the spiritual master of the whole world, isn't it? He's master of the whole world. But Jagadguru has got another meaning also. One who sees the whole Jagat as Guru. In other words, one who sees the whole creation as the spiritual master. By observing the creation, a person who is intelligent can see that the lessons to be learned from the creation, lessons to be learned from the creation, from Jagat. Jagat means this creation. From Jagat, when it becomes a guru, it's also Jagat Guru. So, in other words, what Krishna is saying here is that this creation itself is this tree. This whole creation itself is the tree. So, unless if you want to get out of this creation, from this Jagat, the only way you can do is to cut it with the sword of detachment. Sword of detachment. Suvirudhamulam asanga shastrena dridena chitvaham. So normally, after executing different kinds of karma, going through different species and different bodies, and experiencing so much distress in many instances, eventually one has come to the human form of body. And in that human form of body is the only opportunity where he can understand about this tree. And there also, there is a lot of prarabdham there. Prarabdha karma, what is causing him from stopping him in taking the spiritual life, isn't it? Even after getting a human body, there is no guarantee you are going to take the spiritual life. Even there is so much other prarabdham. Prarabdha means that karma which has fructified from our previous activity. They are all coming on the way and putting blocks in one form or the other. In the form of different things, employer, employer, family, this, that, all kinds of things. That comes as a block on that way. And in addition to that, he's also stuck with the sense enjoyment, desire for sense enjoyment. That is also on the way, causing problems. So Krishna says there, and then he doesn't get any opportunity to hear Bhagavad Gita or Srimad Bhagavatam. So no association with the devotees or with spiritually advanced people. So in all these circumstances, he continues to execute his karma and continues to suffer from that. And after crores and crores of birth, a living entity somehow or the other, due to the mercy of a great soul, one comes to understand these things, the science of the soul. And Krishna is saying here, after getting that opportunity, don't lose it. Don't lose it. That is Krishna's message here. That, and first of all, to inquire about life itself, a desire has to come. Why am I suffering? This question has to come. Even that question doesn't come in most cases, isn't it? Many people don't even think it is necessary to ask that question. They say, why ask that question? Waste your time. That's their answer. But those people who are a little bit thoughtful, and that's why they are called philosophers. They are thinking in that direction. That's why they are able to think. Ordinary people don't think about these things. They are just busy with their work and living, eating, sleeping, those things. But those who have gone beyond than that, who can think a little bit advanced and higher thinking, they think in such a way that why I am suffering? Why I am going through this? What is my real identity? What am I? These questions will come only to such a person. So when that thought comes and it becomes a vasana, only then he he gets an opportunity for a association with a devotee or somebody like that. So this samsara vriksham is nothing but a manifestation of the living entity's ignorance. In other words, Jiva is the living entity. His ajnana karma means ignorance of his own existence, his own karma. That is why he's called Jiva because of this. That Jiva means this conditioned state where he is in deep ignorance. And for him, he gets this opportunity after a very, very long time. When it will start, when it will go, you don't know. Now, Krishna is saying here that this tree, which is such a deep-rooted tree, that you should cut it with asanga shastrena. Asanga shastrena means that asanga shastrena means with the sword of detachment. Now, when we talk about Krishna, you may have observed this often. We'll refer to Krishna like this. Krishna's head is Shirokamalam. Face is Mukhakamalam. Isn't it? Nabhi Kamalam. It says the abdomen. Nabhi Kamalam. Palmam. This is also lotus feet. Pada Kamalam. Hasta Kamalam. Everything is connected with lotus flower. Krishna's body. Isn't it? Everything we adds Kamalam or lotus flower to it. Why is that? Reason for that is Krishna is, difference between Krishna and us is that when Krishna executes a karma, it doesn't touch him. He can do that without getting wet, any karma. Whereas, any karma what we perform, we get fully wet with that, isn't it? So that is why this asanga shastrena dridena chitva, Krishna says, asanga shastrena, just by detachment alone, karma will not bind you. It's not that you go away from karma. That's not what Krishna is saying. But act in such a way with detachment from karma. That is what has to be developed. And this is why all the time Krishna is linked with the lotus flower. Because of Krishna's activities. At the age of 7, Krishna has these pastimes with the gopis. Isn't it? Gopis loved Krishna so much. And their attraction for Krishna increased day by day. So much attraction built up in Gopi's heart. Gopis lost all their individuality to such an extent. You will see in the Bhagavadam, when Krishna was leaving for Vrindavanam, how they cried. And also in the Rasa dance, when Krishna left them, how Gopis cried. Did Krishna cry anywhere? You don't see Krishna crying anywhere, in any situation. So, in the pastimes with gopis, Krishna didn't cry, gopis cried. But gopis, by association with Krishna, they got elevated in that process. They got elevated in this process. So, you can see, throughout Srimad Bhagavatam, this one point is always brought up very strongly. Jnana Vairagyam is two important things. So here, what happened to gopis you have seen. And did Krishna feel any heartbreak when he had to leave for Mathura after leaving Vrindavanam? No, with a smile walked into the chariot, told Akrura, drive off now. Let's go, he said. Why? There was no difficulty. The Krishna had no difficulty while leaving Vrindavanam. He told Yashoda Devi and Nanda Maharaj that I will come back. Did he go back? He never went back. He also wanted them to come up in their spiritual life. Every activity Krishna has performed was only to elevate others. The material point of view, if you start looking at it, you will say, oh, Krishna even didn't keep up his word. He sends Uddhava after a few months, saying, Uddhava, you go and talk to them now. But every time when Krishna has dealt with a devotee, you will notice Krishna was planting this vairagyam in them, into these different interactions with the devotee. Yashoda Devi and Nanda Maharaj were attached to Krishna so deeply that Yashoda Devi, when Uddhava came to speak to them, that particular day Yashoda Devi opened the room where Krishna's toys were kept and brought out all the toys and started listening to Uddhava's talk to Nanda Maharaj. One whole night they spoke to each other about Krishna, Uddhava and Nanda Maharaj. Yashoda Devi was sitting there and listening to it. Yashoda is sitting there listening there. But it seems from the Bhagavatam that the day when Uddhava arrived, although Krishna was expected to come, Krishna didn't arrive, but Nanda Maharaj didn't feel any unhappiness. Why is that? Didn't feel any unhappiness. Uddhava had come, that was enough for Nanda Maharaj. But together they were able to talk about Krishna. That was their happiness. That when Krishna was at home, how he played with different toys and how he showed different kinds of mischiefs. Yashoda Devi was crying at that time. Yashoda Devi was crying at that time, listening from about Krishna. But the interesting thing is that the vairagyam was growing inside, and Krishna's desire was that they should become progress in this path of vairagyam. And at one point, to the gopis, Krishna showed that if you have proper understanding of Krishna, Krishna is never away from you. Why do we have all this misunderstanding that Krishna is somewhere else and we are here, Krishna doesn't look at me anyway, and why Krishna doesn't look at me? Krishna is feeding me morning to night, Krishna is allowing me to sleep somewhere, and Krishna is working from inside and outside both. But because our ignorance is so deep-rooted, that we can only see Krishna in one way, according to our mind, isn't it? So this, when this understanding goes, especially in the Bhagavatam, it is beautifully represented. When gopis cried about the absence of Krishna, Uddhava asked gopis, what happened when you were all attacked by the fire, forest fire? So Gopi said, because that was the day it happened, isn't it? One day it so happened that the forest fire came. All the cowherd boys, cowherd men and the gopis that were present there. Krishna told all of them to close their eyes. To close their eyes. When they closed their eyes, and then when Krishna told them to open the eyes, they were taken away from this location to a far away place, and they could see the fire burning at a long distance away from them. So Krishna's Uddhava says to the gopis, so that day Krishna told you to close the eyes. If you close your eyes now, what will happen? Uddhava says to the gopis. It was at that time Radharani and others understood the technique. They closed their eyes. The moment they closed their eyes, they saw Krishna inside. Only then the gopis recognized Krishna has not left them. Up to that point, they were thinking that Krishna has gone to Mathura. He'll never come back. And they were feeling the separation, and they were crying that Krishna is very ungrateful, Krishna is this, Krishna is that. But now the whole thing stopped with that. Krishna was inside, and that Krishna from inside gave them the understanding Krishna never leaves anybody. Only thing what is lacking is that realization in the living entity. So, similar at that point, Krishna didn't cry. After, at the age of 12, when Krishna went to Mathura, when Krishna went to Mathura, and when the uncle, his dearest uncle Kamsa, invited him to fight the wrestlers, at one point Krishna left the wrestlers, finished them, and jumped onto uncle's chest. He had to just jump on there, the uncle was over, finished. Uncle's life was over. Do you see Krishna crying there anywhere? Oh, my beautiful, dear uncle has gone from this world. No, not a word. Not a word. Not a word he cried at that time. There is no problem there also. After all this, many, many, many years later, in the Mahabharata war, Arjuna was struggling to fight the war. Arjuna was struggling to fight the war. When he see Bhishma, Drona, Krupa and all the other family members on the opposite side, Arjuna started trembling, isn't it? It says, Dehena Parishushyadi. It says, started shaking. Oh, I have to fight all these people. They were my teachers. They were my this, they were that. Arjuna Vishada Yogam, it's called. Arjuna's depression at that time. Distress, that's come about. Arjuna Vishada Yogam. Krishna says, what's the problem? Kill them all and come back alone, he says. Like, he says there, that these all have to be killed. No problem there also. And we say Krishna is a mass murderer, isn't it? That's how we talk about Krishna. But Krishna's activities are such, asanga shastrena dridena chitvaha. This is the secret of success in spiritual life. Krishna says, when one has cultivated that asanga shastram, asanga shastrena dridena chitvaha, that when one has got that sword in the hand, there is nothing to be frightened of in this world. All the fear that is developing in everyone is due to the attachment. Attachment to what? Attachment to the body, attachment to the home, attachment to the family, attachment to wealth, attachment to this, attachment to that. Why? Identity is with the body, not with the soul. So what can we do? So Krishna says this can only come to an end when asanga shastrena dridena chitvaha. Krishna was able to act from that platform. We are unable to act from that platform. And that thing what separates between us and Krishna is this asanga shastram. It is this asanga shastram. So Krishna is giving us the sword. This is the sword what you have to use to cut the branch of this tree. And that is why in the previous times, long ago, normally spiritual life starts when one has realized all these things. Before a disciple goes to a spiritual master, he should be convinced himself that this is the situation, that he has to have that desire to cut the tree. Otherwise, he shouldn't go to spiritual master. Nowadays, it is different. It is completely different now. You may be a hardcore materialist and he wants to get initiated the next day. So what is the meaning of all this? Where is it going to end? And then chaos begins on the very next day. The poor man, he wants everything in this world and he wants spiritual life also along with it. So he comes for spiritual life because he has not thought about Krishna has spoken about a disciple who comes to spiritual life. That's why Krishna doesn't want that this should be so publicly discussed in the newspapers and television, this knowledge of Bhagavad Gita. He doesn't want it like that because it makes no sense. The man is not ready. What's the point in pushing him? It is just like trying to make a fruit to ripen it when it's not ready. When it's not ready, it is not fully ripened. If you keep pressing it, thinking that it will ripen and change its color, it will have its own problems also later on. So this asanga shastrena dridhena chitva means that by cultivation of spiritual knowledge, one has to come to the point of understanding that all these things, what Krishna has spoken about in these three verses. And when one has come to that understanding, then it is worthwhile to pursuing it further from there. Otherwise, simply it will go on like this. We'll read every day. We'll have a Gita Jayanti. Another 700 words, we'll read it out. We'll distribute another million. And then we'll go start doing what we were doing before. Nothing will change. What's the point? What's the point in doing? Unless these things what Krishna has spoken is taken wholeheartedly and accepted it. And this is the thing what the message of Bhagavad Gita is. That asanga shastrena dradhena chitva. The importance of vairagyam in knowing things. Because Krishna says, why did he say these things in the beginning? Because the remaining parts of this chapter, if that has to start working on us, these are the qualifications for that. That's why Krishna is preparing us through these three verses. So, narubama seha tato balabhyade nando na chadiran naja sampradishtaha ashwathamenam suvirudhamulam asanga shastrena dradena chitvaham. That if it is so difficult to know this Ashwatha tree, then is it not better that we don't bother about it? That question also will come, isn't it? Because only by escaping from the tree you can get liberated. That is the point, what Krishna is making. Only by getting out of the tree, it is possible that you can get out of this tree. Unless you know the size of the tree, unless you know the shape of the tree, and also you cannot know how to cut the tree. Therefore, that is the reason why Krishna has discussed this tree in detail. In this verse, there's another point Krishna is also telling us. Why we fail in spiritual life. That's also implicated in this verse. That's also meant to be. Because many times you will see people come to spiritual life. And then they don't want to give up anything in this world. They want everything. They think if you can run both parallel, it's the best solution, they say. You've got best of both worlds. They have found an expression also for that, isn't it? Best of both worlds. Both worlds don't exist together. There's only one world that exists, either this world or that world. If you want to move on to other world, you have to slowly leave this world. Otherwise, it's not possible. So, often in spiritual life, failure comes from this best of both worlds business. So, through this verse, Krishna is indicating to us, you may study Shastram whole life, you may perform all the sadhanas in life, but if this one ingredient is not there, then the whole thing will stay as it is. Nothing will move further from there. Nothing will move further from there. That is the point Krishna is trying to make here. That if all the other factors that is binding us to the tree, if they are not cut one after the other. So first we have to identify what are those things which are causing this bondage. And one has to start cutting them one after the other in one's own way, whatever that way is possible. Once that is done, Krishna says that you will make the progress. But on the other hand, even if you study all the shastram, and even if you execute all your spiritual life to say the 16 rounds and four regulative principles and everything completely, you may find that at the end of the life you are where you were in the beginning. Why? Because with this thing called asanga shastrena dridena chitva, that didn't happen. And hasn't happened. So it's a very, it's a progressive path, provided we accept all the instructions along with it. If you just take, pick and choose things here and there what suits me, and leave the rest, then it is not going to work. So therefore, Bhagavad Gita has to be understood completely, and Bhagavad Gita should be studied, and it should transform the life also in such a way that one by one we should be able to leave the things of this world also. And actually, Krishna consciousness is nothing but to becoming Krishna's man. And to accept, become Krishna's man means accepting Krishna's instructions and to become a Krishna's devotee. When one becomes a devotee of Krishna, automatically all these things will come along with it. It doesn't have to be endeavored very hard. It becomes a lot easier. But when does not become a devotee, then it becomes very difficult when you have to individually handle everything. But strictly, if one takes to Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita, then all this will tell us how to act in this world. We don't have to separately run courses and seminars on mind control and this control and that control, body control and leg control, hand control. All that control is not required. Automatically, this knowledge in Bhagavad Gita is enough to tell us which route to go in life. That's why as long as we are discussing Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, that will develop the necessary culture in a person to understand in which direction to proceed in life. It doesn't require anything more than that. Everything what is needed for spiritual life, Krishna has told in Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. There is nothing else required. It is complete in itself. After all, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, He knows our needs more than ourselves. He knows our needs more than ourselves. It's only when our mind is not able to trust these words, then we start the manufacturing other processes. Only then the other processes starts beginning. Oh, I need another course here, another seminar there, or another this, another that. Why? Because I have no faith in Krishna's words. That's where the problem begins from. If this Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam has satisfied over 5,000 years of those personalities who are looking for spiritual life, and they have perfected their spiritual life, why on earth today we need all these additional things? After all, we should think that also. Why on earth do we need something different than Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam today to understand spiritual life? Do we need so many separate courses to understand Krishna consciousness? When so many 5,000 years, people with this knowledge from Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam, they were able to go back home, back to Krishna. And they have perfected their spiritual life simply by studying Krishna's words. Nothing else. Just studying Krishna's words. If that was possible, why is that today we need something different than that? So that is showing our weakness in the Shraddha. The Shraddha is not there in Krishna's words. So as long as we have all these kind of problems, we will continue to find it difficult, spiritual life. We'll continue this next Sunday. All glory to Srila Prabhupada.